scratch about. So easy. You gotta
put it in perspective. Hello, children. Hello. Here is this morning's story. Are you ready? Then we'll begin.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Because I know somewhere deep down in my heart, I still love you.
And now.
Hey guys, I think I know why Dave likes Farmville so much. Dave, Mexican, Farmville. It's a pretty obvious connection, guys.
Our feature presentation.
Yeah, Mexicans like computer games, obviously. That's the message right there. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, folks. It is a brand new program for a Wednesday. Now what's up with the monkey? Where's Kevin now?
Well, he can't use Carmageddon anymore.
Right.
He can't use the excuse that he's left his wallet and his phone before a trip. So I'm baffled. I don't know.
Are you baffled? Well, maybe.
Wait a minute. Someone might be sneaking in right now.
All right, let's just wait, shall we?
Let's wait.
All right.
What? I've been here.
What's going on?
I've been here. What are you talking about? I've been here.
Uh-huh. Dude, nobody told you the show was starting? That's what happened?
Yeah, I was in the other office doing prep work.
That's what you're famous for, is being the most prepared guy in the room.
That's right. Thank you. Dude, I don't know. I can't answer.
Remember we had that talk about 5 minutes early? You just leave 5 minutes early. You'll be fine. Every day. Every day.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
He snuck in with a guitar. Did you leave your guitar at home and have to go back for it?
I'd say, yeah. It makes perfect sense. If I left 5 minutes early, then I would never run into this. You know,
you'd have nothing but
traffic or whatever. But,
right.
Right.
Yeah.
Hi. Mm-hmm. I promised a story yesterday at this time. We got sidetracked talking about RNG, but Lisa's new dog. But
that's
I
not his name.
His name's going to be RNG. And I promised you a story about a man shooting himself in the penis, so I do want to start with that today.
Yes.
Kevin, this is in your old neighborhood. Well, close. Chandler, Arizona is where this happened. A convenience store there named Fry's Food Store on West Elliott Road, apparently, is where Joshua Cito, 27, and his fiancée, Kara Christopher, were walking to for refreshments. Now, I don't know why she had a handgun. I don't know why her handgun was pink. I didn't even know they made pink handguns.
I didn't either.
You'd get one if you knew that.
Yeah.
But Josh, being the manly man that he is, had her handgun and decided to secure it in the front waistband of his pants. He didn't have a holster, so he just put it in the front of his pants, like mm-hmm. they do.
Wow.
Well, the gun fired and shot him in the penis and continued through his left thigh. It starts bleeding like a mother effer. So the fiance, Kara, she calls 911 and says he's still conscious, but there's a lot of blood. Now, I didn't know this, by the way. Of course, the 911 operators told her to apply direct pressure to the wound with a dry towel or T-shirt, but they tell you not to look at the wound. Don't look at it. Just hold the cloth on there, but whatever you do, don't look at it.
That's my policy as well, but only because I hate the look of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it makes me sick.
And is it because that you think they don't want the person who's assisting the injured person to, you know, faint or vomit or freak out and make the other person more nervous?
Yeah, I imagine all of those things.
I can't imagine anything else.
Yeah.
Any other reason.
He's still coherent and everything, but he's bleeding quite a lot, she told 911. In the wake of the accident, police are warning armed residents, and of course, in Arizona, open carry state, there are a lot of armed residents,
mm-hmm.
to remember to use a holster, not the waistband. The police say that this happens often because of television shows like Sons of Anarchy, where they show tough guys with guns shoved into their jeans. However, the police remind you that on the silver screen, they most likely use rubber weapons, which weigh far less than the real thing. And an actual heavy handgun is going to slip down your pants if you just put it in your waistband.
Wasn't that the professional football player that happened? Who was it?
Plaxico Burress, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't there also safety?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You would think, yeah. But you never know. You never know. You know?
Really?
You know, you have to draw on somebody.
Especially in Arizona.
If it's in Arizona, you might have to draw on somebody. You know?
And finally on this, it's not clear whether the man has been released from the hospital or will suffer any permanent damage. I can't imagine how you easily recover from having a bullet go through your penis, though. But he is recovering. He may also possibly face charges. The case agent is still determining that. I wonder...
He hasn't suffered enough for being a dumbass?
What would they charge you with? Unlawful firing of a firearm? Do they have something like that if you shoot in an area you're not supposed to or allowed to or something like that for no reason?
I think it's guy with pink gun.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that. Yeah, okay.
Wrong color.
Just writes
wrong color gun.
So anyway, so no matter what's going on in your life today, you listening to the Kevin and Bean Show right now, it's probably better than what happened to this guy. Shooting himself in the junk.
Yeah. And if you have a gun, go ahead and find a way to put it other than just in your underwear.
Yeah, don't go out of your way to stick it intentionally as close to your genitals as possible.
Also good advice. I think we've learned a lot today.
That is funny.
I think so.
It is funny because if you use any logic, you do understand that you have a loaded weapon that is pointed right there.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, it doesn't even make sense. I'd put it in the back before I'd put it in the front. You know?
You'd leave it in the truck before you went to the convenience store.
No, I mean the back of my pants. I'm just saying, you know, there's other places you could put it.
Right.
So that it's not aimed right at the jewels.
Yes.
Right. Bad form.
Bad form. All right, we're giving out some good gun tips today. I'm glad.
I think so.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I don't have no idea.
Yeah. Well, we'll help you. We have Adam Carolla because it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
This week in Rage. We have to get a name for Lisa's dog because
he's still no name.
She's still considering Bean's name, which is a terrible name. And so we need your help.
Yeah, if we don't come up with something better, it is going to be Orangey.
Well, yeah, it's gonna be tough. It's gonna be tough to beat Orangey.
That's what I'm saying.
That's gonna be tough. I don't know how people can do it, but we're hoping. Orangey. Give me a break with that. Let's see. We have Kevin Smith, writer, director, actor.
Excellent.
Wow.
Part-time employee.
Yeah.
Coming in next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Always love having him.
He's too rich to get up this early to come in on the show, by the way. I still don't get that. I mean, I get it because I know he needs to rush back home to do his first podcast of the day.
Yeah.
His first of five. You know, most people are planning their bong hits. He's planning, all right, I got a podcast at noon.
Right.
Then I got another one at 3. Then I got another one at 6. I mean, he's got a busy day.
And he does the bong hits, too.
That's true.
Right. He's doing them both.
Works it all in. I don't know how.
We also try to do gay stuff.
I don't think that's
not
true.
True at all, no. We also are going to introduce you to Shame Be Gone, and it's a service that we think you'll really enjoy. Or at least be happy that it exists because you'll be able to use them.
Okay.
Got that coming up. And we have
I did not like it at all. It was disgusting.
You didn't use this. That's not what you're talking about. I'm sorry. And we have a band in studio. We have Paramore.
All right.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
How about that?
Wow.
Dave, the King of Mexico, I'm sure wearing in one of his lucky sweaters.
Uh-huh.
One of
a
his
bow tie.
One of his Cosby sweaters and a bow tie, which is
that's
what
how he cleans up.
That's his idea of dressing up. So Paramore in studio this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
How about some Sublime on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show? Also, Linkin Park. We got the Dirty Heads and a little band. I don't think Bush is still together anymore. Are they Bush?
They are.
Yes. Really?
Back and better than ever.
New music.
I didn't know that.
Thing,
okay.
Yep.
Oh, well, yeah. We're going to be playing some Bush for you coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show, because why wouldn't we? Right now, though, time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. Ralph Garman joins us.
My name is Bush, and I endorse that song.
Not that Bush. Although about as timely.
Oh, come on now with the Bush.
Speaking of politics and show business, and where the two, Twixt and Twain, the Palin family is bracing themselves for a horde of accusations coming from Mercedes Johnston. You may not know the name. She is the sister of Levi Johnston. That is the white trash punk who fathered Bristol Palin's son, Tripp.
Okay.
Remember, he was. They were engaged to be engaged.
Right.
During election specifically, you saw them holding hands and being America's favorite young couple.
Now, Tripp is... I'm sorry. I'm trying to keep the family tree here straight. Tripp is a Sarah Palin kid?
No, Tripp is a Bristol Palin kid.
Okay, that's right. Track is the Sarah Palin kid.
Trig is a Sarah Palin kid, as is Track.
Okay, Trick, Track, and Trig. Got it.
Trick, Track, Paddywhack, give your dog a bone. That's how I remember it. So Mercedes Johnston is the sister of Levi Johnston. He famously had a falling out with Bristol and the family and went on to pose for Playgirl magazine, you may remember.
Right.
Wrote a book about how he was treated by the Palin family, he says, in a less than savory manner.
Right.
Now Mercedes Johnston is posing for Playboy magazine. And she gives a salacious interview with that magazine about the Palins and how they conduct themselves, including such alleged accusations as Track, who she shortly dated. So Levi dated
Track
is one of Sarah Palin's kids.
Okay. Trying to keep up here, Kevin.
Trig Track Paddywhack, give your dog a bone.
Okay, all right.
Track just had a baby this week.
Track
so Sarah Palin's
did
a grandmother
just have
again,
a
right?
baby. His wife of 3 months, they just had a baby girl last weekend. But Mercedes dated Track for a short time, and she claims he had a serious drug problem.
Okay.
He did OxyContin, she says, but mostly cocaine.
Dude.
She also dishes to Playboy that Bristol's not nearly the innocent young paragon of virtue and icon of wait to have sex until you're married as she would have you believe.
Sure.
Saying that Bristol used to steal her parents' credit cards in order to buy clothes, would chase after a multitude of men, was very much into partying, and she would send nude photos of herself to her many boyfriends.
Now, this is the girl who's going around the country getting $30,000 a speaking engagement to be the paragon of virtue for young people,
just
right?
Just say no, yes. Now, keep in mind, this is the Johnston family, and when it comes to believability, whether you're believing the Palins or the Johnstons, I think you're hard-pressed to pick a side.
Either one.
But it certainly makes for some juicy gossip, if nothing else.
Will you buy me that purse I want over there? I'll do anything, because I'm a whore.
Yeah, well, maybe. I'm just saying.
Wow, Kevin, if your microphones were there?
That's possible. Jesse James may have left Sandra Bullock with more than just a broken heart when they split up.
Oh, what's that mean?
It means he may have left her with a nasty habit as well.
Oh, no.
I can't imagine what you're thinking it is, Kevin.
Habit.
But it's probably not as bad as you're thinking. Because you sound serious.
Yeah.
The National Enquirer reports that Jesse tried to help Sandra break her smoking addiction.
Ah.
And so he introduced her to chewing tobacco.
That's exactly what I thought it was going to be, by the
really?
Way.
Really?
Yes. When you were talking about a nasty habit, I thought, well, I couldn't say it out loud.
Me too.
Screw the story, but when
Kevin
you talk about leaving her with a nasty habit, that's what I thought. But then I thought, she's Sandra Bullock.
Apparently, Jesse taught her to dip, and now she can't stop chewing. In
she's
fact,
America's sweetheart.
Folks on the set of her new film, Gravity, say she carries around a white styrofoam spit cup all day.
Oh,
on
the set. That's the one thing you have to do is spit
yeah,
all
you do.
The time.
You get a curl.
Oh.
Not sexy.
Wow.
Do that all day long.
That's not good.
That is attractive on a girl right there. That is pretty.
That's hot.
And then they have to dig in there and get that chaw out when it's finished.
Mm.
Get a fresh one, pack it in there, get it ready.
It made me sad.
Don't be sad. Sometimes it pays to be on reality television. Excuse me. I did the pig voice right, and now I can't speak. Jennifer Love Hewitt has apparently fallen for one of the dudes on The Bachelorette. She tweeted her affection for Ben, who I think was the guy that Ashley didn't choose.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The wine guy, right?
The wine guy, yeah. Right. She tweeted about how much she adored him and blah, blah, blah. And so this guy's just a regular Joe on a reality TV show. He's not, he doesn't end up with The Bachelorette.
Right.
And so he takes Jennifer Love Hewitt up on her interest. Now the two apparently are dating.
How about that?
He wins.
He so wins.
Wow.
You could have had No Lips, The Bachelorette, or you could have Jennifer Love Hewitt, who's got a multitude of everything.
Yes, she does.
So congratulations to you, Ben. And while we're talking about television, I think all of our wishes and hopes and dreams have been answered.
Oh, really?
Yep. CBS has just announced they are bringing Bewitched back to television.
Yes!
Finally, Bewitched is going to be back on TV. For those of you who don't know what Bewitched was, it was a sitcom in the, I want to say, 60s?
I believe 60s.
Uh-huh. Early 70s.
Yes.
Featuring the beautiful and talented Elizabeth Montgomery, and she was a witch who was married to a mortal. And chaos would ensue because she would use her magic, and he would say, don't.
and she would anyway.
She would try to help.
And then her mother would come over, and her mother's a witch, and you into a frog, Darren. And it was, it was just so hilarious.
It was the same show as I Dream of Jeannie.
Basically. Only one was witch and one was a genie. Come on, Bean, get it straight.
But, I mean, they both had the powers that they created chaos with. But, I mean, didn't the Nicole Kidman, Will Ferrell movie, didn't that spoil anyone's appetite for more Bewitched?
Well, they didn't do a great big screen version of it, that's for sure. They did make a film in 2005 featuring Nicole and Will. But CBS seems to think it's just what television needs.
Huh.
Here's the thing with people who want to bring back sitcoms from the 60s. There were three channels back then.
Right.
We didn't have a lot of choices. So it wasn't that the stuff was particularly good. It's like there was nothing else to watch. So people would tune in. It was a lesser of three evils.
Right. Is it better than the other two? That's the only way to make a decision.
Right. So that's why that show was a hit. Yeah. It's a flimsy premise at best.
Yeah.
And in this day and age, I think it's really going to be hard to pull off a corny concept like that. But look, why go out and find an original idea when you can put Bewitched back on television? So I think we're all richer for it.
Where's That Girl when you're looking for it? Where's that show? Is that coming back, Rob?
That Girl. Marlo could use the work. And real quickly, while we're talking about being richer for something, Ashton Kutcher, it's been announced how much he's making per episode over there in 2.5 Men. I just wanted to give you a heads up,
because
you were curious.
Please.
Now, keep in mind, Charlie Sheen was pulling in $1.2 million an episode when he left that show.
Right.
Or when he was kicked off that show, or however it shook down. Ashton Kutcher will not be making that kind of money, at least not this season. First season on the show? What are you guessing? What do you think he's pulling in? Keep it. Now, here, I'll give you some reference numbers, okay? Ted Danson, for example, is making $225,000 per episode on CSI.
Okay.
Tim Allen and Kiefer Sutherland, and their new shows, they're pulling in around the same. So what do you think Ashton Kutcher's making?
So 225. I guess 150.
Okay.
I was going to go higher, more like 500.
You think so?
Yeah.
B? I have to recuse myself from this story. I'm sorry.
Okay. $700,000 an episode.
Wow.
Jeez.
$700,000 per episode. It takes roughly 4 days to make an episode of a sitcom.
Now, the shocking part of this story, when I heard it yesterday, Ralph, was that he's making more than John Cryer. John Cryer is making six.
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
How pissed is John Cryer? He's been doing this show for 5 years or whatever it's been on the air. The new guy comes in and makes more than him week one.
I think John's happy to get the six. I think he's fine with that.
How about that?
He's happy the show's still going to be on the air.
Yeah. I'm sure he had a summer that he was wondering if he was going to start looking for new work, right? I'm
telling you, he's building a house in my neighborhood, and I think he was just looking, saying, I need drywall. What's going to happen? Please, can I just get one more season out of this show? Today's celebrity birthdays, Rosanna Arquette. She is 52 years old today. Antonio Banderas, he turns 51. Angie Harmon from Law & Order, she's 39 years old today. Justin Theroux, actor and writer and current escort to one Miss Jennifer Aniston. He is 40 years old today. And legendary flautist Ian Anderson of Jethro Tull.
You got
to give some love to a flautist when you get a chance.
I don't know.
Happy birthday, flautist Ian Anderson.
I'd say you can take that off the list.
Come on, Kevin.
I'm just saying a flautist.
Aqualung. Anything?
No.
Oh, he's 64 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Adam Carolla on the program later on today. It is Wednesday. That means the week in Rage Plus, a little band called Paramore. Oh, Dave is so excited.
He is, yeah.
Dave drove to San Diego last night to see Paramore and Kazir. Turned around and came back to see them on the Kevin and Bean show this morning. He's obsessed. So that's
he's not wearing his class photo outfit, though. I'm a little disappointed. No.
Well, he's going to shower before they get here and then change that. First, though, ladies and gentlemen, Dave's got his Haley crush. Ralph's crush joins us in the studio right now, the great Kevin Smith here on the Kevin and Bean show.
It's gone beyond crush now. We're officially lovers.
You're lovers.
A couple. We're a couple at this point.
We are a couple.
In fact, we're past the crush stage into the, like, I resent him. Like every good relationship.
You have some bad history that you can't let go of.
Yeah, we did the important things. We laughed together. We did the sexual things. And now it's just dry.
Yeah. Aww, that's too bad.
Now it's, you know, put a dish in the dishwasher when you're done with it, for God's sake.
Put down the toilet seat, you fat jackass. God.
Now, does Ralph ever call in sick with the stuff he does with you, or is that just with us, Kevin?
That's
looking for a
guys.
Priority check here. Okay, it's just us.
Have we ever, honestly, in all the time we've been doing Hollywood Babylon for a year now, I have missed, six shows, maybe eight.
Maybe.
Like having to be here or there, and Ralph has always kind of come in with a co-host. So, yeah, he's I mean, it's one day a week. That's easy to hit, I think. It's not that taxing. But also, it's just a lot of fun. Like, imagine doing this job, but of course you're not allowed to curse. And then one day a week, you're allowed to do this job and curse your full head off. I would imagine.
Mother effing awesome.
And drink.
And drink.
There's that as well. Big bottle of liquor, like right on the seat. Could you imagine if you had a big bottle of liquor right here every morning? It
would be so much easier.
That would be great. How would Kevin sound if he started drinking during the show?
Unfortunately, we've heard the those same. Shows. We've heard those shows when Kevin's been drinking during the show, and it's always magical.
It's the same.
I think of you as Kevin Smith, internet entrepreneur. By the way, please notice I almost effectively said that word for the first time in my life. Close. But now I'm reminded, as I see why you're here today, Mr. Smith, that you actually used to have another life where you made movies.
That's very true. Every once in a while, I remember that other life as well. It's weird. Is that how you think of me, as an internet entrepreneur?
Yeah, because I mean. But, I mean, it's kind of true. You've kind of developed your own business on the internet that is making you money. I mean, that's the dream for a lot of people. Very few are able to pull it off. But, I mean, it helps that you've had, 20 years of getting in people's faces and having people be attracted to your personality. That helps you today. But you used to make movies, and you still got a little bit of, there's a remnant of that coming around again here this month.
I got to tell you, Dean, when I think of you, I think of Max. In Where the Wild Things Are. When I listen to your voice, like, that was a long, uninterrupted kind of speech right there, and I was just imagining you in that white outfit with the tail.
The wolf suit.
It's like, I'm the wild thing. Hey, what do you call him? The wild harvest begin.
I have that outfit as the guy's name.
We're still waiting on that photo, by the way.
Come on, dude. Just give us one picture.
Dean literally has
just
that.
A headshot.
And we said, just send us a photo of it.
Oh, I got it in time.
Headshot or butt.
It's not going to go well if I
do that. I just want to see how long the tail is.
Yeah.
In any event, yes, I used to direct from time to time. In fact, I directed a movie with Ralph in it. Mm-hmm. And that movie is finally coming to Los Angeles
to play.
That
pretty much ended your film career.
It did.
Working with me.
It's a big mistake.
Wow, that was it, huh?
I'm still trying to make up for it. We finally start screening the movie here in town. We're doing it to qualify the cast for Academy Awards.
And the director for Academy Awards.
The director is not interested. But the cast is amazing. And the cast across the board should really be recognized. Because honestly, like, Melissa Leo, Michael Parks, John Goodman, you show me, like, five better performances per category this year, and I'll eat something.
Let me say something about the Oscars for a second.
Yes.
Because on the face of it, you go, well, this movie's too small to be considered for an Oscar. But hasn't Melissa Leo already been nominated for two Academy Awards in being an equally small movie and one for one of them, right?
The Fighter, though, they had a nice, like, studio and budget.
Yeah, the
it,
Fighter was
first,
bigger than that.
Her first nod was for Frozen River, which, try finding that unless you're really looking. It's a small film. And last year we saw, what's her name, Jennifer Lawrence?
Yeah.
For Winter's Bone.
Winter's Bone, right.
Are you allowed to say that on the radio?
I guess.
Summer's Bone, Winter's Bone. She was great in that. Every once in a while, they'll notice performance.
But it does take some money, some publicity, some advertising, doesn't it, to kind of get the name out there most of the time?
I don't know how. Like Melissa, we know she didn't have a huge campaign. She took a few picture ads or whatever. And I don't know.
The first time around, she didn't have any campaign.
Nothing. Yeah, it's just people tapped her because they liked that performance. So, us, we've been trying to do this movie, market it as inexpensively as possible, not spend any money on it. Instead of putting up a billboard or commercial on TV, I'll come in here and talk to you guys or go on Twitter for a couple hours. I do that regardless.
Yeah.
And just basically do it every way you can for free just to let people know it's coming.
Have you ever had a nomination out of any of your films, Kevin?
No. God, no. No. But I've never had performances like these.
Why do you say God, no? Come on now.
Because I make, movies where it's just like, hey, Silent Bob, get your hand out of your pants.
Comedy has a rough go as it is.
Period. Exactly.
Yeah, and then
I was told I came really close in 97 with Chasing Amy. I was told by somebody who was involved with the voting, they were like, you only missed nod by a couple votes.
Wow.
And I was like, right on. And that was shocking because, again, that's a movie that I didn't think when I was writing.
That movie holds up, though, Kevin. I saw that again not too long ago. The dialogue is great in that film. It really is.
Thank you. So the only thing that bugs me about it is how much everybody smokes in that movie. Like, I was a militant smoker in those days.
Right.
And so was Ben, and so was Joey, and so was Jason Lee, and so was Jason Mewes, so was Scott Mosier. walking onto that set was like walking onto the Marlboro factory plant, except as if all the employees started smoking the product. But I watch that movie now, and it's like you look at Ben Affleck's fingers, where at the end he's kind of having this wordless conversation with Jason Lee across the room, and he crosses it. Jason Lee kind of indicates like, yeah, you're going to get back together with that girl. And Ben kind of does this, holds his hand up, crosses his fingers. And when he crosses his fingers...
Like, I hope so.
Go look. If you have Chasing Amy, it's, I think it's on Netflix.
Okay.
Look at those fingers. There is a nicotine stain that runs down one of them that is so thick, you would have thought he pulled that finger out of something.
Oh, my goodness.
It's, I'm not even lying. Go look at it. It's crazy. Every time I watch the movie, I'm like, he didn't think to wash his hands before we went?
On that note, maybe we should take a break. If you don't mind.
Sure.
That's where you draw the line? Really?
Yeah, that's the
what
line?
Bothers you?
Put the finger, yes. I'm fine with that.
I didn't say put. I said
pull out.
Yeah,
pull
out.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, time for a prostate exam, and then we'll be back after a short message.
Our friend Kevin Smith in studio now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Writer, director, actor, podcaster, internet entrepreneur in studio with us right now. Hey, you know, we started talking about how Red State is playing in Southern California.
Sweet, yes.
After touring it around the country, but we haven't given out any details. I want to make sure people know how to go see it.
I love Bean. He is the master of that. I will talk for 3 hours and never say, you know, where you could get tickets. Bean is so on
He's
it. What
bookkeeper.
A pro. Yeah, he is. Well done, man. He's like one of those goblins, Gringotts in the Harry Potter movie. He just knows where everything is, knows how to get you to your vault.
He's the keymaster.
Yeah, right? He is. All right, on. But long story short, coopersdale.com. Go to that website right now as we're talking. If you're in your car, pull over or work on it while you're driving. I do that. I'm not advocating it, but it's true.
Coopersdale.
CoopersDell.com.
We'll put that up at kevinandbean.com.
Don't muddy the waters,
get
Kevin.
Get you some tickets.
That's the town in the movie, right? That's where
that
the name
is the
comes
name
from.
Of the, yeah, the town in the movie. And that's the website we've been using for the tour. And now we'll use it for this run. We're also using it for the run up in Canada. Next week I go up there and do a Red State tour across Canada. But at the end of that tour on August 19th, which is Friday, I believe. Anybody have a calendar for me? I think it's
Friday. 19th is Friday.
Yeah, a week from this coming Friday, we start running at the New Beverly, Quentin's theater over on Beverly and off of Highland. A great place to watch this flick because it's a kind of a grindhouse to some degree, and this movie is definitely a grindhouse movie. Very exploitation-oriented flick that has killer performances. Lots of cool, fun action and whatnot. It's a cool movie. Go see the trailer. You can watch the new trailer at coopersdell.com. You look at the trailer and you're like, there's no way that Kevin Smith had anything to do with this movie.
No, but it's a so brilliant trailer.
Yeah. Thank you. It is pretty good.
You still do the Q&A after every single showing, every single time?
That's the idea. I want to gild my lily. I've been very protective with this movie and accompanying it everywhere and being there. Not because it doesn't need explaining. I just love it so much. I love this
and
movie.
And you own it too, right?
It's mine. I own it. We didn't sell it. I mean, except overseas. Like outside the U.S., other people have it. But here, it's ours. And it's so nice to make something and control its destiny.
Completely.
Good or bad. Like you're making all the decisions and it's just an extension of the creation of the art. So the managing of the art is something that back in the day you wouldn't do because they're like, oh, we got this. We'll handle this for you. Right. You go make more art.
Once you're done, you just give it away and then they do it.
And
good
then
job
they
or
practice
bad job.
Their art. But for me, for a control freak, it's like, look, I'd rather keep practicing that art myself. I have interesting ways that I'd like to try to get this movie to the audience. And so with this run, I never wanted it to just be like, oh, it's playing, go see it, and you know, let me know how it is. It's like a 10-minute ride from my house. So I said, every screening we have, I'll do a Q&A afterwards. So there's like a 6:30 and a 9 o'clock show every night, or 7 and 9:30 or something like that. And then after each show, I'll get up and do a Q&A. Ralph's going to join me for some of them. Michael Parks will be there for some.
What is the longest Q&A you've done after a showing?
Of this flick?
Uh-huh.
Let me see. Probably about 2 hours.
2 hours.
Which is longer than the film itself.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's nothing compared to the longest Q&A I've ever done was 7 hours.
Yeah.
So I feel like a slacker at 2 hours. But
where was that?
Good. That was in Count Basie Theater, Red Bank, New Jersey, in the hometown. They say a prophet's never accepted in his hometown. I say BS. 7 hours on stage.
Seven
Somebody
hours.
Accepted something.
Wow.
hard. But it was, yeah.
At 6 hours, did you go, I need to get someplace else?
You know he didn't.
No, way.
But you know what, if they stuck around.
Yeah. It becomes a like a contest with the audience.
He'd where still be like, there if here? They were asking questions.
Absolutely. If there's one person left, I'd still be like, I'm going to win, you. Buddy. Yeah. It'd be just like, it's you or me.
I have a question I've never asked you before, Kevin Smith, here sir. On the Kevin and Bean Show.
Fire.
And
it, 8 inches.
It has the potential to have a really boring answer, but I'm going to risk it anyway.
Do
because
it.
I admire you
do
so much.
Do it!
Cooper's Dell is the name of the town. Is that a name that you made up? And my question is...
That's a great question.
And then I'll hang up and listen to your answer on the air. My question is, you come
you
up
would.
With an entire universe of names for stores, names for characters, names for books. I mean, when you're making a movie, you're inventing an entire universe. Do you have a system, a way that you create all of those names, or is it incredibly random?
That is a charming question, Bean. Normally, you make fun of me for being fat or something. And you've touched me with this question.
How about
it's amazing.
That, right?
It's like loving
well, we're talking
today.
About the other thing we're doing today is trying to name Lisa's dog, so Bean has names on the mind.
Called the dog McGillicuddy.
McGillicuddy. That's great bigger name than that the is. Dog.
That's the point. People like with a name like McGillicuddy, they're looking for a Great Dane.
Right. An Irish setter.
You give
him
what?
Like
you
it.
Got a teacup something?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Where's the dog?
Chihuahua. What do you
think?
Chihuahua.
Well, he's still recovering from being fixed.
Oh, why do you hate your dog
home
so
with
much?
A cone.
Oh. I don't. McGillicuddy's a good name. How do I come up with names for the flicks? You know, honestly, you just go through your youth and pick out
just stuff you remember.
Yeah, like if you watch the View Askew movies and then you drive to where I came from. I noticed this. Like, I never really figured it out until years into making the movies. I was driving down Route 36 in Middletown, and I see Bethany Road. And I see Dante Tuxedos.
Really?
And I see, yeah, and I'm passing all these places and streets where I'm like, oh, my God, these are where the names lodged from, I guess, or something like that. So Cooper's Dell, I love the you know that word Dell. Nobody really uses it. And I had a cousin who lived near a Dell-type town. Cooper's just sounded innocuous enough. But the like naming the church, like 5 Points Trinity Church, 5 Points Road was where my cousins lived when I was a kid. It's just dopey stuff like that. So when you're all done with the flicks, or at least when I'm all done with the flicks, I look at them, of course, as each individual movie, but they're really kind of a scrapbook of your entire life, not just because you made them when the people that were in them, but like if you know your life very well, you can go like, oh, this directs, like that name references back to
right,
7 years I spent as a child going to this house and blah, blah, blah.
Of course.
So it becomes one large kind of sort of biography, I guess, to borrow a phrase from
Ralph, does your character have a name?
Yes. Yes, it does, Bean.
What is it? What is it?
F.U. That's what it means.
Did your character have a name? Yes, my character has a name.
Wait,
what do you think
know.
Of playing guy number 5 in the back row?
No, I
got
don't.
A role in this movie.
To be fair,
I know you do. I didn't know if you had a name, though.
Name.
What's
name?
Your character's name, Ralph?
Caleb. Caleb.
And where'd that come from, Kevin?
Bible.
A lot of biblical names in this film,
yeah,
for the religious characters.
Yeah, and then when we go to the church, to where Ralph is, the subterranean church of the wacky, far, far, far extreme religious right people in our movie.
Funny, funny family.
Very funny. Yeah, yeah. Fun loving right, bunch that, yeah. With no love for
they
anybody.
They smile a lot, I noticed. Oh,
before we give out the information one more time to drive the point home that you get a chance to see Kevin Smith and the film live and in person starting a week from Friday, I have to ask one more question, and that is, when the tragic Norway shooting happened,
yes,
and it turned out to be a crazy right-wing extremist,
yes,
I thought Smith has gone too far to promote this goddamn movie. Really, this is ridiculous.
I don't think there's a tie
but,
in.
Yeah,
but I mean, when you saw that, was it a little bit chilling for you to see that play out in real life like that?
Movie or not, that was chilling for anybody to see. That's one of the. I mean, the heinousness of that. Oh man, we're a comedy show, and I'm about to get into this, but the heinousness of, as we all heard, like the guy being like, "Come closer, I have a demonstration to show you."
Yeah.
And kids at a camp, just what are you going to do? If you're a kid and a cop is like, come here, you're trained to be like, okay. And with all these other people, you're like, what could possibly go wrong? The dude turns around, starts opening fire. Horrible. But there are people like that in this world, man. And sadly, every once in a while, you know, you
and
get to see him.
And there's the farthest end of the fringe.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what you made the movie about, is the far end of the fringe.
Again,
but not them,
like,
but,
no,
not
but not
related.
Them, but yeah, any extremism, right. Any person that's just like, look, the only way to get my peaceful doctrine across is by killing strangers.
There's
that's
extremists on both sides, on any side of any topic.
Yeah. Oh, so, yeah.
But sadly, this question keeps coming up since we've made the film.
To
a
who?
Bunch
this is the first
of
time
times.
Somebody ever said it to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, because, have you been getting it? I haven't gotten it at all.
Because especially with the sort of tangential connection to the Westboro Baptist Church.
What do you mean? Oh, with ours
with,
or
with
theirs?
Yeah.
Are we still talking about Norway?
No, I'm talking about the event. The event that happened in Norway.
Yes.
There have been, unfortunately, several other religious sort of events of hatred that have come up since the movie was finished, and that so that was a recurring theme where people keep asking about those kinds of events, and it's so sad that there have been so many, I think, since even the film was released.
I agree.
You know, every time something happens with the West Baptist Church, someone comes to you and says, did you think about, and it just happens over and over and over again.
Yeah, they were, I mean, our model for the family, the nut job family in our flick is the Westboro Baptist Church, those sign holders and whatnot. Right. So, you know, everything they do, of course, people are like, hey, man, your movie's kind of about that. And I'm like, well, what's the point? The movie's a satire about a bunch of jackasses that we all can't stand.
Right.
But at the same time, they have their, you know, right to say what they have to say. This is the thing. It's like those Phelps people, you want to shut them up because it's ridiculous. It's just hurtful. And, of course, you know, people are like, oh, get over it. It's just words. But who needs that? You're putting a loved one in the ground, some jackass holding a sign telling you he's going to hell. Whether you believe in hell or not, who needs that on that moment and that time? Someone else's political agenda on your time. You can't stop that because I'm the like kind of guy that likes to stand on stage, say very raw things about his life. So I believe in freedom of speech. But you can't let chicanery like that go unpunished. If you can, and I don't mean physically punished, but I mean take your shot. Their shot is a peaceful shot of holding signs and being annoying to
people. Be hateful.
Yes. I say do the reverse to them. Like, you know, we've done it before. We've met them on their own terms in terms of they protest with signs and we bring people protesting with signs. And so you see their people across the street holding up signs that God hates this and that. Our people hold up signs that say God hates Endor. you know what I'm saying?
Like at Comic-Con, I saw a sign and the guy said, God hates protesters.
Yes, yes. I love that. Every once in a while, I see somebody holding one in the crowd. Like at Sundance, they protested us. And I said, hey, everybody, counter-protest. And a bunch of people came, high school kids, holding up signs, God hates homework, stuff like that. And they were, like the Phelpses stand there, they whenever they protest, they'll sing these songs where they talk about, like, they'll take a song you know and change the word. So instead of God bless America, they'll say God hates America, like a Nazi weird owl.
Right, right.
So they're singing their song, like God hates America. And the kids, the high school kids holding protest signs opposite them are singing Lady Gaga lyrics. So I remember, I will never forget, being in the midst of the melee, before we went to the theater, you have all these people protesting, good people protesting on the left, a few bad people protesting on the right, loud as hell, cameras everywhere, and all I can hear in my ears was on one side, it was, God hates America, and the kids trying to get louder going, gah, gah, rah, rah, gah, gah, rah, rah. It was pretty amazing.
All right, coopersdell.com. We'll also link to it from the Kevin and Bean page. It starts a week from Friday, August 19th through the 26th, running at the New Beverly Theater on West Beverly Boulevard in Los Angeles. As you briefly mentioned, a theater owned by Quentin Tarantino. So if you want to see the movie and get a chance to talk to Kevin Smith yourself, you can do all of that. We'll take a break. We come back with the Showbiz Beat right after this. It is Paramore Day on the Kevin and Bean Show. The band will be here in about an hour. Kevin Smith in studio with us right now. Time for the Showbiz Beat with Ralph.
Well, I gave you the depressing news about the state of television today earlier when I mentioned that CBS has announced they're bringing Bewitched back to television.
Oh, what a good original idea, Ralph.
I think it is, Kevin. Because, you know, the problem is no one's writing scripts anymore. There's nobody out there trying to write TV shows, so they got to go back into the hopper and pick out an old one.
I don't want to spoil this for anybody else, but she's a witch.
Yeah.
What?
And I don't want to spoil it for anybody else. But her husband becomes like a totally different person right in the middle of their life. I have no idea what that's
all about.
Whoever's
playing Darren better get a good contract.
That's right. You could be easily replaced if history has shown us anything. Well, the state of movies isn't much better. They just announced today, yes, there will be another Smurfs movie, as you can imagine, after the huge opening weekend that movie had.
I'm so excited.
They're bringing us Smurfs 2.
I got to tell you, man, I wasn't rooting for the failure of that movie at all, but I'm kind of surprised that it played. Like, who cares at this point?
A lot of people
kids still remember
Dave,
or like
the King of Mexico, who was very excited about seeing it. I don't think he did, but...
The Smurfs never did it for me, but there was a shot, in terms of the movie, but there was a shot of Hank Azaria as Gargamel that almost made me buy a ticket. Because I was like, you're kidding. They went this far? I gotta know. I'll check it out on DVD.
Stop it.
I will.
You're part of the problem.
I want to hear Jonathan Winters does the voice of Papa Smurf.
Oh, really?
Anybody, a funny person worth their salt has to, you know, give Jonathan Winters props.
And yeah, but
if this is what he's doing, this is what he's doing.
Can't I just write him a check instead of going to see that movie? Yeah.
More sad news. The cast of Jersey Shore apparently is going to make a cameo in the upcoming Three Stooges movie the Farrelly brothers are putting together. That just gets more and more inviting every day.
All right.
Is that a different... It's the same Three Stooges movie? It was the one with Sean Hayes in it and stuff?
Yes.
Same one.
Wow.
Jersey Shore will be stopping by.
Well,
that
it just
film.
Took a jump.
It sure did. And they've announced the Flat Stanley movie.
Flat? Get out of here.
Wait, what's
this
Flat
is a
Stan?
British character. Mr. Oizo is a kind of a DJ and or music guy over there. And he did a video... or music. There's a Mr. Oizo video which has this puppet in it, Flat Eric. If you've ever seen The Office, at one point, the British Office,
right.
When Ricky Gervais is walking around, he points to like a yellow stuffed monkey slash bear looking thing, and he smiles, and he goes, eh, and he walks away. That is Flat Eric. And he had this video. If you go on to YouTube right now and look for Mr. Oizo, it's a video of this puppet sitting in a massive office at a large desk eating sausages and rocking out. It's an awesome, awesome video, but it's 10 years old or more. This was game. I saw this video while we were making Dogma, 1999.
That wow. is a fascinating story, but it has nothing to do with Flat Stanley.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant Flat nailed. Eric.
Flat Stanley is it's a kid's game. In first grade, you take Flat Stanley and you mail him around the world. It's a piece of construction paper that's basically like this little boy, and you try to get him on as many adventures around the world as possible. And people take their pictures with Flat Stanley, and then you mail it back to the class. And the first grade class tries to send Flat Stanley to as many places in the world as they can.
That's a movie?
That apparently is going to be a movie. Yeah. So...
I liked my version better.
Let's
see that
too.
Puppet movie. Better. Yeah. Puppet eating sausage. Let's see that picture. Really? So it's a movie about, I guess it's a movie where some family made a Flat Stanley. Is that what it is?
Apparently he's going to be an animated character and he's going to travel around
becomes
the world.
Alive.
And have
he's
adventures.
Like, stop mailing me. It's scary in the envelope.
I want to be a real boy. Yeah, it's tragic.
He's got no dimension, that Flat Stanley.
No.
Movie's going to be shallow.
Oh, my
God. Not very deep.
That's Flat Stanley right there. That's him.
There he is.
Look, there he is in front of the pyramids.
Oh,
see?
My God. That looks
there's
like
Flat
me.
Here's Flat Stanley in front of the Eiffel Tower. Here's Flat Stanley at the Oktoberfest.
This literally looks Flat like Stanley me when I was in Catholic school. Safari. A tie, a shirt, properly parted hair.
It's Flat Stanley on top of a hippo. There's Flat Stanley in the with the Eskimos.
You can see that kid is also confused about the Blessed Trinity. How can three people be in one God? I'm too young to understand this religious stuff.
Today's celebrity birthday is Ian Anderson of Jethro Tull. He's a singer, but more importantly, he's a flautist.
Does that mean you played a flout?
Yes.
Right.
And by flout, you mean flute?
Why do they add the A? Just
I
fancy?
Don't know. No idea. He's 64
because nobody
years
wants
today.
To be a flutist. But if you're a flautist, you're like, oh, that's different.
Yeah. Rosanna Arquette, actress, nutcase. 52 years old. Oh, yeah, she's wacky. That whole family is, the Arquettes. I'm going to throw a net over the whole bunch of them. Antonio Banderas is 51 years old today. He's Puss in Boots, you know.
Yes. Mm,
play Zorro. I want to spend my lifetime loving you. Remember that movie? That was the end song.
Remember the movie?
I don't remember the end song.
Oh, that was the end of the movie. They played that song.
He was also the El Mariachi or the Bandolero or whatever.
He wasn't the El Mariachi, no, but he was in the sequels.
Yeah.
He played with
the
sequel.
Of that, the movie? Robert Rodriguez.
El Mariachi and, oh my lord, how do I not remember this?
Hey guys, we're still in the air.
Yeah, my bad.
I don't know if you're aware.
Yeah. Justin Theroux, actor, writer, 40 years old today. You'll notice that this Kevin has very little attention span. You don't get much slack. You gotta get it out or just move on.
And we were muttering. We got to that point where we were so lost, we were like, nom, nom,
I could have gone on for
but
a half
there are
hour.
People. Yeah. There are people who will tell us.
God, what was that movie called? It's El Mariachi, and then the sequel, the one that he did with Antonio Banderas.
I could have looked it up by now, but I didn't really care.
Salma Hayek, right? Wasn't she
was
in it?
From Dusk Till Dawn?
Once Upon a Time in Mexico? No.
Once Upon a Time? No. That
was it From Dusk Till Dawn?
No, that's a vampire movie.
Oh,
it's Antonio Banderas as a musician assassin, and he carries around a guitar case.
Desperado.
It might be best if you just let it go.
Okay. Are you sure it wasn't Flat Desperado?
Angie Harmon is 39 years old today. Ryan Eggold of 90210, he's 27, and actress Devin Aoki celebrates her 29th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and we are doing K-Rock's Road Trip USA, stop number 3, which is 311 in Sublime with Rome in Red Rocks, which is a great place to see a concert. Qualify all week by winning tickets to the show on August 20th, plus you get it in a Friday morning's drawing We're going to send somebody to see 311 and Sublime with Rome in Red Rocks, Colorado.
Nice.
By the way, this is the 1 week of 2011 where it's not snowing in Colorado. So congratulations. You're going to hit them right in the middle of their summer.
Get the hotel room. You get everything. And we're going to do that drawing on Friday morning. So make sure you listen to the world famous K-Rock. It is 9 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Paramore, less than 1 hour from right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Adam Carolla joins us for This Week in Rage, and we're going to talk to somebody later in the hour who will write a difficult letter for you. You've got bad news, you got to break to somebody, you want to break up with them, whatever it is. This is the company that you can go to that will phrase it delicately for you. You pay them and they do it, which I think is a pretty good service. All right, you go to KevinandBean.com, and the very first thing you see on our page is our beautiful Lisa May. Holding some sort of a rat. I don't know. What am I looking at here, Lisa?
It does look like a rat.
It is my new
two-year-old. From the sewers of New York City.
4-pound chihuahua that I adopted.
That's not a dog. It doesn't even look like a dog.
Tiny.
It's not a dog.
It doesn't look like a dog either.
This is a fetus, though. This is a dog that was pulled out of its mother before it was full term, right?
I don't know. It was a stray that ended up in the L.A. shelter system. And, you know, they have adoptions, mobile adoptions, and there's one in Studio City at Moore Park in Laurel on, I think it's like every fourth Sunday or something. And so I wandered over there on Sunday just to look around. Which is a huge mistake because, you know, my dogs both passed away back in March, and I was going to wait until maybe the beginning of next year.
Right.
And but someone said, yeah, but just go look. And I should never just go look.
Well, of course,
because then you follow them. That's a giant mistake.
But fortunately, you have an AT&T smartphone, so you're able to find out the location on where to go.
Exactly.
How do I find the ugliest dog in the world?
No. Is
there an app for that?
Cute.
So she gets the dog, and she brings the dog home, and she's looking for a name. And she's dumb enough to come into this room. And I love Lisa, but this is not a smart move. She comes into this room and says, I need to come up with a name for my dog.
Yes.
And Bean, without hesitating, said, I've always wanted to name one of my pets Orangey.
It's a name that he's had.
Orangey.
And never used.
Right. And he's had six dogs, and he's had a cow.
He's had pigs.
And
cows, pigs, sheep.
And sheep.
He's had 30 animals.
Somehow that name didn't fit, but it's going to fit my
dog. He's always wanted Orangey. And I said, Orangey? What are you talking about, Orangey? Doesn't even make any sense. And then Bean told me that was the cat that was in Breakfast at Tiffany's, which is a 1961 movie.
Yeah.
And it was a cat's, not its stage name, but its real name.
That was the actor cat's name, was Orangey. And I've always thought it was a great name. But here my whole thing. I've had a lot of pets. And, you know, you mentioned a bunch of them. I've had millipedes and hedgehogs and all sorts of pets. They've all had names. But I can't just pick out a name and then say the next pet I get is going to get this name. I need to live with the animal, as Lisa's doing right now, where you live with the animal, learn a little bit about what its personality is, and look for a name that kind of fits that animal. And I've not had an Orangey yet. When I find that perfect animal that's an Orangey, I'm going to give it that name.
Did you
unless Lisa uses it?
Did you see? And that's the other stupid thing. Bean has a rule.
Let's not start this now.
Let's just wrap up the 1961 movie Breakfast at Tiffany's. They named the cat Poor Slob. Without a name. Okay? That was the title they used instead of its real name, which is Orangey.
Orangey.
You know why? Orangey's a dumb name for an animal.
It's a terrible name.
Okay. Orangey's an awesome name. And that was my suggestion to Lisa May. But Lisa, I guess you've been on your Twitter feed and people have been tweeting you all the time with names that they're suggesting. And some of them are pretty good, but you haven't decided on anything yet,
right? I haven't. Do you want me to give you some of the great suggestions?
Please.
All right. Well, Cheech. Which I think is strong.
Cheech is good.
Rudy, which for many reasons would be a great name.
Sure.
Inglewood, because that's where I'm from. Nacho, Muggsy, Ziggy, Gizmo, Yo-Yo, Mexicutioner.
Oh, sweet.
Your Majesty.
I think
Your Majesty is awesome. Good. That's Jermaine Jackson's kid's name.
Although Mexicutioner, when you look at the dog, you go, there's a no less threatening dog on this planet.
Hence the irony.
So maybe Mexicutioner would be good.
Steve, as in hit it, Steve.
Good.
Anel suggested Little Anel, of course.
Sure.
And then someone tweeted back, that's a bad name for a person, much less a dog.
Yeah.
Juno.
Yeah. Nope.
That's I love that, by
nope.
the way. I love
nope.
that.
I got
nope.
Cairo. I've got Boyd as in Brandon Boyd.
We're going to look for your suggestions at 1-800-520-1067. I'm sorry, Popo?
Popo. That was, I think, Alex.
Mine is bug eyes, antenna ears.
Oh.
How about that?
Someone did say satellite dish.
Her ears really do. It's a hurry.
It's a giant ear. It's a little boy.
Little boy. Okay.
Yeah.
You can go to KevinandBean.com and you can see two different pictures of Lisa's little rat dog. If a name strikes you, we'd like to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. By the way, what's wrong with Juno? That's an awesome name for your dog. Lisa May, but Lisa May is the king of Jude, no?
Right, I understand that.
I know, but it's a boy, so I don't think that would fit.
That does, look, I had a boy pig named Daisy. It doesn't matter.
Right,
you can give him whatever name you want.
But you name your animals effed up names.
No, but they don't know whether it's a boy's name or a girl's name. All they know is that's what they respond to because they're familiar with it.
Can you beat Orangey?
That is
no
question.
No, you cannot.
And the funny part about that was is the... the lack of time and thinking and processing that Lisa has a new dog and she wants a name. There was no time between that and when being jumped right in with Orangey.
Yeah.
Well, like, when you have an awesome five-star idea, there's no reason to keep looking.
And the way he said it was, wow, is everybody going to just love this immediately? I can't even say it fast enough because it's going to be 100%er. This is a done deal.
And everyone went. Orangey?
Everybody but you. You thought about it, and that's when I realized, oh, no, we need help. So what should Lisa call her dog if you can beat Orangey?
And who knows if you can? That's a tough one.
It's a tough one because it's so good. But then you could call and help Lisa name her dog. Although I think Mexicutioner is good.
It's strong.
What's the lead? What else we got? Mexicutioner?
Well, I really do like Rudy.
Okay.
Rudy, and I like Cheech.
Cheech is good.
Nacho's pretty good.
All right.
Here's what I'm going to tell you about Cheech, though. And look, do what you want. It's your damn dog. But the names that are obvious stereotypes because of the kind of dog kind of bug me because they're so widespread. There are probably a million Chihuahuas named Cheech, okay?
Yeah.
Just like there are a million English Bulldogs named Winston. It's just one of those names that maybe it works because it's a classic, but I'm just kind of over it. It's just kind of boring to me because there are so many.
But if you're... So here's Bean's problem, too, and we have to try and avoid this. If anyone else has named their dog something, you can't name your dog that.
Like obviously. Mike has a dog named Milo. I love that name.
Right. You could name him Milo. That'd be perfectly fine. You don't have to live
by... But I can't because Mike has a dog named Milo.
You don't have to live by Bean's rules. When it comes to dog names, there are a lot of them that have the same names. And unless they're all in the same house and you call them... You're never going to have a problem with naming your pet the same name.
Stand tall, Lisa. Stand tall. Don't buckle. Don't buckle to the bad man's pressure.
I was talking to Ralph yesterday, and he has a dog, Reggie. And I said, would it bother you if I got a dog and named it Reggie? And he said, no, I think it's pretty cool because it's a good name.
All right.
Bing.
That surprises me.
Wrong. I mean, look, if you want to, you know, hate Jesus and worship Satan, that's on you, okay? I don't have anything to do with that.
You don't have to come up. Your names for your animals are ridiculous.
1-800-520-1067. Help us out. Lisa's going to name her dog RNG, but what would you name her dog? We'll take your calls after this on the... Taking a couple of minutes out of today's Kevin and Bean show to help Lisa May name her new dog a Chihuahua. You can see pictures, by the way, not only of the dog, but of Lisa May at KevinandBean.com. We got a lot of complaints. There aren't enough of those around, but you can see those both if you want to go right now. Here's a couple of suggestions before we go to the phones. We're getting a lot of reaction from this. On Facebook, we've had more than one person, Lisa, who has suggested you name your dog Dobby after the house elf in the Harry Potter movies.
Dobby. Well,
and I know that you're a big Harry Potter fan also, so that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Tony says, name your dog Boner, which I think is a great idea because I could just see you calling
Boner
for Boner.
Is great.
Boner!
Where's Boner?
Where's Boner?
It'd be so funny around your apartment.
Oh,
yeah.
And Brad writes in, how about naming your dog Diet Ginger Ale after that fictional beverage that you love so much? So another great suggestion. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Let's see what we got here. Let's go to Jose on line 5 to get us going. We'll just burn through as many of these as we can and
All
see
right.
if anything jumps out at you.
Optimus.
Nice.
This little Chihuahua good. Is the opposite of an
like
Optimus.
Every time.
What's that?
She has to call the dog like that each and every time.
Right.
Do it again.
Optimus!
That might be exhausting, Lisa.
All right.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's try Rick. I don't even understand Rick's name, but maybe there's a story.
Rick, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
What's the name?
Inertia.
Inertia.
Inertia?
Why?
Yeah, it's like a scientific term, but it's...
Well, I know what inertia
cool.
is, but
inertia,
what is...
Come here, inertia. People will just go, whoa.
Whoa.
All right, you're an idiot, Rick. Thank you.
Okay.
RNG's not looking so bad now, is it?
Hold on a second. The guy that came up with Orangey can't call inertia an idiot.
Inertia
Sorry.
Is a terrible name
yeah,
for a
so
dog.
Yeah, so is Orangey.
The hell is wrong with you? Laura, line 2, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Laura, what should Lisa name her dog and why?
Hi, Laura.
Hi. I was thinking Mark Anthony, like the singer, and you should make him Jewish.
How do I make him Jewish?
One of my dogs is Buddhist, and my other dog is Catholic, and they're living together fine.
That's great. You're helping the world.
How do you know what religion your dogs are?
She decides.
She just makes.
I mean, and they're both like.
Okay.
Half
all right,
Laura's gone bye-bye. All right, thank you for the call, Laura.
I got an email, Benito Mussolini. Isn't that like naming your dog Hitler?
A little long. Yeah, it is. Of course, a lot of people are suggesting, Spanish-type names, Mexican-type names, because it is a Chihuahua. Here's Jeff who says, name your dog Amigo, which is a friendly name, I think, Amigo.
Mm-hmm. I got Machete.
Sweet. Machete's an awesome name.
So threatening for such a non-threatening dog.
That is funny.
Dude, I like Machete a lot.
I do too.
You're not interested in, a lot of people are suggesting traffic related names. You don't want to name your dog Freeway or 405 or Sig Alert, as others suggested.
Because
that's bringing your work home with you, right? Nobody wants
that. Exactly.
All right, let's go to Haida on line 7. Is it Haida? I hope the dog's name is better than your name, Haida.
Haida?
Hi, Haida.
Hi.
How you doing? Hi, Lisa May.
Hi.
Your name?
D period, O period, G period, D-O-G.
Oh, it's like, that's like...
Spells dog.
The D-O-G. Orangelo, sort of.
Right,
sort of. D-O-G. But I don't know that beats boner. It does beat orangey, though.
Thank you for the call. Jake says, why not name your dog after our favorite Kevin and Bean listener, Victor Fuentes?
Oh, sweet. Victor.
Victor.
Yeah. Sweet. Or
Victor
first or last.
Brady, yeah.
Who cares?
Any of these jumping out at you? We're almost out of time here, Lisa. I love boner. And please don't isolate that tape. I'm a fan of Machete as well.
Here's some Gonzo. We don't have time to go to. Cash. These are bad. Robot.
Sharktopus. Here's Sharktopus.
Sharktopus. I don't know. I like, I like Mexicutioner.
Mm-hmm.
I like Rudy.
Okay.
I like Boner, and I like Optimus, and I like Machete. I think I go with Optimus.
Optimus?
Just because
I've never
physically...
even seen one of those movies.
Oh, well, then forget
so
that.
So I don't think that's for me.
Boner.
Boner. I've seen those.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of those.
I think you need to name the dog Boner.
Lisa, all right, done. If you had a dog named Boner, except for explaining it to your parents, how awesome would that be?
She named her dog Boner!
Yes, sweet. I love it.
Thank you, people.
Oh, is Paramore here yet? I love Helly. Oh.
I love her. I saw her last night in San Diego.
Dave can't pronounce vowels properly, but he sure loves him some Paramore. And they are going to be joining us in studio in about 20 minutes from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Very, very excited. I love this band, too. I'm really looking forward to it. First, though, we'd like to tell you about new services, new products, new websites that you need to be aware of. And this is one called Shame Be Gone, shamebegone.com. Corey Sika is a spokesperson for this site. And what they do, as I understand it, is they write the difficult letters to people that you don't have the words for. Is that an oversimplification, Corey? Is that about it?
Hello, Corey.
Well, hey, guys.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. Thanks.
I already asked you a question.
Sorry to wake you. So, Corey.
Hey, please don't let Lisa name her dog Inertia. That's upsetting.
No,
it's a terrible name, right? But Boner. But you're down with Boner is a great name, right?
You're down with Boner just like Bean is.
He can't hear me. That's the problem. Hey, for some reason, Kevin, he can hear you, but he can't hear me. Why is that?
I don't know if that's it.
Corey, can you hear me?
Now I can, yes.
Okay,
much better. Sorry about that. I know we had a technical snafu on our end.
You guys haven't done radio for very long. I know it's new to you.
Thank you.
Well, we have the beer mug factor to overcome every day. Hey. All right, so Shame Be Gone. I was telling our audience, if it's not an oversimplification to put it in these words, you write the difficult letters for people that they need to send. They know they need to send. They just can't find the words for. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. People, we all know people walk around with stuff they've never taken care of, and it eats them up, and we try and help them out.
What's the most that the biggest category? Like, is it just
most common?
Yeah, most common. What's
We get a lot. I have to say, there's a lot of lonely dudes out there who just don't understand why ladies don't like them.
Oh, and so they want you to, so they kind of, in a way, they hire you to write a suave email to kind of introduce themselves or something.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that. Like, we get a couple that are like, oh, I'm back in town from college, and that girl I always liked from high school is here. What do I do? It's cute. It's sweet. And they just need a little push, you know?
I see. Okay.
What about business disputes, Corey? Do you have people who say, I'm having a problem with my bank, and I can't get anywhere with it, and I need a professional, a heavyweight, to go in there and write it in a way that's intimidating but also effective?
We get a little of that. We try to back away. We definitely get a lot of people who are like, I have not paid my taxes in 7 years. What do I do?
Yeah, maybe that's not your
deal. And you say, call a lawyer.
Uh-huh. Exactly. I'm just like, get away from me. I'm not qualified. Yeah.
What about breakups? I would imagine breakups would be, I mean, that's one of the hardest things to do is break up. And doing it other than in person sucks. Doing it on the phone is, I guess, second best, but when you get down to email, that's a pretty crappy way to break up. But a lot of people don't know how to do it. Does that happen?
All the time. People break up by text, sure, by Facebook. It's ridiculous. Sure. And, you know, if I could tell most guys, especially anything, it's that if a woman doesn't want to talk to you and she changes her number, it means she's afraid of you and she doesn't want to date you.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
That would help. Yeah,
one of the categories that you mentioned on the site, and again, we're talking to Corey Seeker from shamebegone.com, is overdue condolence notes. Now, I can totally visualize what this is. They come to you and they go, you know, my first cousin was killed in a car accident and I never sent a note and now I feel terrible. It's been 4 months. What should I do? I mean, how do you even handle something like that? How do you sit down and what do you say in a situation like that?
You just have to be real upfront. You know what? People love to get notes and communications. And when we stall and like panic and go into that weird shame place, like we're doing everyone a disservice. And sending a note late, I mean, we've done this with people who are like a year late and it still works. And people are almost always really happy to hear from people.
A year late.
Oh, yeah.
Do you get missed birthdays?
What's that?
Do you get missed birthdays?
Oh, we get missed birthdays, we get missed wedding RSVPs, we get all of it, yeah.
What do you write for something like that a year ago they should have responded to? What in the world do you write?
You know, one thing with apologies is you can't, you know, especially you can't come in like groveling on your knees. You just have to really be like, hey, this was a mistake. I messed up. And then you move straight on into it. You got to like really cut through it.
I like it. So you don't spend your whole time going, oh, I'm really sorry.
Or making excuses.
I should have, blah, blah, blah. You just say, I messed up. Forgive me. I want to get back in touch with you.
Yeah, nobody wants to hear anybody whine. It's not fun.
Right.
Now, it's interesting. You've made a reference to, and I see on your site also, that you're clear to point out that you're not there for legal representation, and it seems like a lot of people want you to handle things like that. For instance, when somebody says, I need to write a letter to somebody who owes me money, and I'm trying to make it effective so that I get paid, short of threatening legal action, what can you do for them, Corey?
We tend to back out of a lot of that. You know, we do. I mean, we've both been freelancers, you know, here at the site, so we know a bit about trying to collect money out of people. But there's only so much at a certain point that we're willing to do. We're definitely not going to be like, and here's how small claims court works.
You right. know? Which I think would work in a lot of cases, by the way. How do people go about paying you? What's a rate for a typical letter on the site?
So our experiment here is sort of like that last Radiohead album. It's like we ask people to set their price.
Okay. So if I say, I want you to break up with my girlfriend and I'm willing to pay $1, do you write back and go, I don't know, a little more?
You know, sometimes we'll do it. We'll do stuff for free, actually, if we think it's worthwhile. But, you know, we do have a little back and forth with people. We have to make sure they're not the creep necessarily. We don't want to. We want to suss out the situation and make sure we really know what's going on.
Because it might be a stalker, and that's not the person you want to help out.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
One of the things that I found really interesting, there are two things actually about shamebegone.com. Is one is you're not contacting these other people anonymously. The person who hires you is the person who actually does ultimately send the email with their name on it, right?
That's right. We want to help people stand up for themselves.
Oh, so you write it and then copy it and send it to them, and then I copy and paste it and send it from my email?
Yeah, and we all do a little back and forth where they're like, no, can you help me like express this other idea?
Oh,
I
see.
Like, sure.
And the other thing I like about it, part two of that, was that they're not bound to every word of yours. You might get them started in the right direction or set a tone for them, but they can adapt it more specifically to their situation as needed, which I think is great.
That's right, and exactly. We don't want to mess things up. So we want to make them better.
All right, the website is shamebegone.com. Has it been going pretty well for you, Corey? You get a lot of business?
Every once in a while, we get overwhelmed, and then we have to write our own email.
Yeah. And you write to people, just sending out a mass email, too busy. Write your own damn email.
I love the idea of this. I write my fair share of strongly worded letters that we talk about on this show from time to time, Corey. And every single week, I get a listener who writes to me and says, hey, I need your help. I'm having a problem with something I bought at this store. Will you write a letter for me? And I don't have the time to do that. But now at least I have someplace to direct them that there's a site that they can go for stuff like this. I think it's great.
We're always here to help.
That's awesome.
That's a pretty good idea. Yeah. Shamebegone.com. That's the website.
Okay.
Thanks very much, Corey. We appreciate it.
All right. You guys have a great day.
All right. Okay. Bye now.
Paramore joins us in studio coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. How's Dave hold up? Is he all right, Ralph? The other
he looks a little shaky.
I'm sure it's very difficult for him. This is like a dream come true for
you. He's wearing
today.
Fingerless gloves. I don't know what's that about.
All right. I can't wait for that coming up in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for another look at the showbiz beat now. Here's Ralph.
Before I get to entertainment news, how about some passes to give away to the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Fright Night?
Yay!
It happens Tuesday, August the 16th. The movie's in theaters everywhere Friday, August the 19th. But you'll be able to see it before anybody else if you're one of the first lucky two callers to get through at 1-800-520-1067. Movie stars Colin Farrell as a sexy vampire who moves next door to Anton Yelchin, decides to take it upon himself to rid his neighborhood of pesky vampires. You know how pesky they can be.
They can be pesky.
Sure.
David Tennant, who was Doctor Who at one time, now fights alongside Anton in a movie that also stars Toni Collette. You can go to welcometofrightnight.com for more details, but this looks awesome. I love the original, and I think it's some films lend themselves, I think, to modernization, to updates better than others, and I think this is one of those that will certainly.
I never saw the original. Well. Surprised, but this does look great.
Call right now if you'd like to go to the advanced screening.
Can I call?
No, you cannot.
Oh.
Piers Morgan says he didn't hack into Paul McCartney's cell phone, like Heather Mills is alleging. She said that he tapped into that phone so that the newspaper he was working for, the Daily Mirror, could get stories regarding their marriage and then pending divorce. Piers Morgan does say, however, that he thinks Heather hacked into Paul McCartney's cell phone.
I don't doubt it.
I don't either. In fact, Paul accused her of hacking his phones and selling info to the press during their divorce. It's in the paperwork.
I don't doubt
it. Is it that easy to do?
I don't know.
If you have money, you can hire someone to do that?
No, I'm sure, yeah. Pierce, that kind of money? Yeah.
Piers Morgan also said he wanted to apologize to Sir Paul, not for anything he did regarding illegal phone tapping, but for introducing him to Heather Mills.
It was his fault?
Ouch. Yeah.
Oh.
He was the one who put those two together. It wound up costing Paul $50 million, so that was a mistake.
I told you guys the time I saw Heather Mills, right? She was MC at a charity event.
Speaking of the landmine charity, right?
And she was such a horrible human being. Because Paul McCartney was playing, and she's like, enough with this about Paul playing. Let's talk about the charity. She was all angry.
Wow.
Like, wow, what's happening right now? This is the craziest charity event I've ever been at.
Jeez.
And she had to know that people were there. Yeah, they're maybe interested in the charity, but they're there because they get a chance to see Paul McCartney.
Right.
And that was the draw.
And that's why
and that's
they would
how
give
you raise
money.
The money.
Right,
yeah.
Right. She was in a horrible mood. She was terrible.
Maybe I'm amazed that she would act that way. I'm just saying.
You know
really,
what?
If you're trying to raise money for a charity, it's just surprising that she would behave that way to a bunch of potential donors.
Put that in the
file. I don't
even
know what you're talking about. I'm just saying that for potential donors, you'd think she would be better behaved. Wouldn't you? Ashton Kutcher, he's doing all right for himself. He is not charged with anything.
Oh, sorry.
He is taking Charlie Sheen's place, of course, on Two and a Half Men. TV Guide says he's going to pull down $700,000 per episode.
Okay.
Let me give you some perspective. Monday, you go in, you do a table read, which is you're rolling around 10 o'clock. They give out the new script for the week. You sit down, you read it out loud. It's over in about 45 minutes to an hour. Maybe you have notes. Usually you don't. You're out by noon.
Okay, 10 to noon.
The next day, you roll in around 10 a.m. You get the script up on its feet. You move around the set. They get the camera blocking roughly put into place. You're done by 5-ish.
Okay.
Next day, you go in, you rehearse again. Thursday, the same. Friday, you bring in a live audience. You roll in around 5 o'clock. You tape around 7.
Maybe you do a second taping, usually done by 8:30, 9 o'clock. That's your week.
Sweet. When do you go down into the mines to pull coal from the earth, though? Doesn't that happen? Is that part of the process?
There
no?
is no, you know, a lot of people, I'm glad you asked that, Bean. A lot of people make that mistake regarding making three-camera situation comedies, but there actually is no coal mining that happens during the shoot week. At all.
But for the kind of money they're making, though, they are literally saving lives, right? They bring in little kids who are close to death, and they bring them back to life, right?
They're saving our lives with laughter, if that's what you mean, yes. So congratulations.
So what's he making? How much is he making?
$700,000 an episode.
Unbelievable. And while, you got to get off this show and get into television, Ralph.
Yeah, really. And while we're talking about things that should not be, there will be another Smurfs movie. Yeah, Sony Pictures announced they've already set up a release date for 2013 for the sequel.
It's not my fault.
Let me mark that in.
Guess we all should have seen it coming. It has taken
I'm so happy.
Has taken in $135 million worldwide so far.
It has?
God. Yes.
No wonder.
I am so smurfing tired of the mother smurfing smurfs. I really have no... They can smurf my smurf. That's what they can do. One big cluster smurf, if you ask me. Today's celebrity birthdays, singer, flautist Ian Anderson of Jethro Tull. I don't give a rat's ass about Ian Anderson or Jethro Tull, but I love saying flautist. You don't get a chance to say flautist very often in regular conversation.
No. Is that a flute player?
I'm taking full advantage of that. That is a flute player. Okay. You're correct, Beer Monk. They're known as flautists.
Why are they not known as flutists?
I'm sure there are some people who call them flutists.
Okay.
But the correct term is flautist.
I'm a flautist. Take it easy. You play the flute.
I'm a flatulist. It's a very different instrument that I play.
You play it well, though.
Thank you so much. He is 64 years old today. Rosanna Arquette is 52 years old. Antonio Banderas, who's in a movie called Desperado, we established last hour. Yeah. That was a film he was in. 51 years old today. He looks pretty good for 51, by the way.
Sure.
Justin Theroux, new beau of Jennifer Aniston. He is 40 years old today. He's an actor and writer. Angie Harmon from Law & Order. She's married to Jason Sehorn, formerly of the Giants, New York Giants. Can't wait for football to start. That's all I keep thinking about.
I know.
She's 39. And actress Devin Aoki celebrates her 29th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
More time here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Jeremy, also Taylor and Haley in studio from the band Paramore. Hi, you guys. What's up?
Just waking up, you know.
I am stunned, frankly, to see you guys because you were playing the Warped Tour in San Diego yesterday. Yeah. Big rock stars. You don't need this BS. You need to be driving 100 miles and getting up at the crack of ass to come in and talk to us.
Yeah, no, right. Haley was just saying she feels great and she likes being up at this time of the morning.
I love it. It's wonderful.
You're going to need to pull that microphone a little bit closer, Haley. There you go.
She's relaxing.
I know.
Y'all are you're done with the Warped Tour now? Was that your last appearance for this tour?
Unfortunately, yeah. We love it. We already miss it so much.
Why the Warped? Why the Warped Tour? Because I've heard you guys talk about that before, about how it's one of your favorite festivals to go out with. How come?
I just think we started there. You know, that's the tour that gave us, like, life as a band. I remember the first show we ever played it, and, you know, thinking about that, the first show we ever played, and then thinking about that compared to what we did last night, it's just, I don't know. It's the same, and it's so different, because the it's so innocent. Like, you're up there. There's no pressure. It's not really your show. It's like you're a small part of something way bigger, and it just feels good.
Dave, the King of Mexico, who, as you know, is in love with you, went down to the show, and he said they just looked like more relaxed than usual, like they're just having fun, and it wasn't pressure.
No, not at all.
Does it feel different that way because of that?
Yeah, we're having more fun than we've ever had as a band, and just enjoying playing music, and it's been incredible. Yeah, it's been a good season.
How terrifying was the first Warped Tour when you guys played it? And like you said, that was kind of the beginning of you as a band. You were playing probably for the biggest crowds you'd ever played for. Do you remember what you felt like on stage back then?
I was just stoked that someone was paying attention to us. I'm like, wait a minute. Does they stopped. They're actually like stopping and listening.
Yeah. Look, do you cool. watch the Look people, cool. and then when someone left, did you go, oh.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, hey, man, that's messed up.
That was a good song. We got another one. Hey, don't go away. Because that's one of those things where they get to walk around and see a bunch of different bands and stuff.
Yeah, that's why it's such a big deal when you're starting out and people actually give you time. It's just like, there's so, like, I remember Thrice was on that year, Under Oath, Starting Line, like a lot of big, big bands. And the fact that anyone was giving us the time of day was just like, it was amazing. It felt so good.
Now, I have trouble keeping the timeline of this straight, but were you guys, at least some of you, still in high school when you signed your record deal?
Yeah.
Okay, now how does that happen? I mean, I don't want to drag you through your whole history, but I mean, there are a lot of people listening who are out there who are very, very talented, who have been working at it for a long time.
Right.
And still can't break through. Mm-hmm. And obviously, talent is first and foremost. That's how you make it. But I mean, in high school, it just seems like you wouldn't even have the infrastructure around you to be able to get a record deal.
Living in Nashville, it's like everyone and their mom works in the music industry. So it was kind of like anytime we played anywhere, there was someone that got, you know, we got to play for. And so, it did happen really fast for us. But I remember, like, Jeremy had just graduated. Taylor was still in school. And I was still doing, like, internet school, you know, like online classes, and we did it all the way through, you know. I was in the van doing school, like it was tough, but like I'm glad I got my diploma. I feel, you know, makes me feel better for not really being that good at math.
So were you a quintessential garage band where that's what you would do at when you had time, is get together at somebody's house and just practice in the garage?
Taylor's and Jeremy's too. Yeah.
It was never a garage, unfortunately.
Yeah,
it was always air conditioned.
Parents love hate.
That's true.
Parents love or hate that.
Nice.
There's always a certain amount of luck involved in almost anything successful that happens. If you guys had met and started the exact same band, but had been living in a tiny town in Texas or something, or even further away from Nashville, who knows if maybe you wouldn't have met the right people? Isn't that weird to think about how this might not have happened?
Yeah, you know, it's just hard to tell. You know,
I'm getting philosophical here on you. I apologize for that.
It's hard to tell. Nashville, is there a lot of I know there's a lot of music people there, but it's mostly country. No.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's sort of the misconception of Nashville. Like over the past, especially since we started playing shows, that the scene has grown so
it has
like
so.
Really quickly, and it's amazing.
My opinion of Nashville is, I lived there and I wanted to get into music, I would have to get into country music because that's what they do. That's not the case anymore.
No, I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, what would you say?
Everybody just has cowboy hats on, man.
Okay.
Rock shows, cowboy hats.
Yeah, you can't.
Rap shows, cowboy hats. Yeah, you get it.
But I think you're right, Haley.
I think see a rap show with guys wearing cowboy hats.
Go to Nashville.
I think it has changed. It has changed in recent years, and guys like Jack White are moving to Nashville now and finding a kind of a vibrant scene. I mean, even a punk rock scene out of Nashville.
Definitely.
Now, you know? There's a little bit of everything.
There's really great house shows. The house that we used to go to got shut down, but it was called the Gingerbread House, and there are some of the best shows that I've ever been to.
Are you responsible for it getting shut down?
It was all my fault. Yeah.
What were your expectations for reals? Now, be honest. When you guys started making music together, did you look at it as this is a hobby? This is something that's going to be fun until we find a real job, or did you think we really are going to make it in music?
Oh man.
I mean, I think it was just finding friends that actually like the same kind of music as each other. That was the first thing that just blew our minds. It's like, wow, you like cool music too? So then when we started playing music, it was just so much fun. We never thought anything would really come of it.
So it was more about playing live, just and how much fun it was, than dreams of I want to be a rock star.
Yeah, which of course we wanted to be, but we had, you know, you never really think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
When you're first putting a band together, do you go, all right, what songs do you guys think you know? And then you try to play and you pick a song that you all kind of know to see if you can even make music?
Yeah, we try. We remember we tried to play Thursday songs back then and Deftones as well.
It's pretty rough.
It was scary. Like one of our songs was kind of like, it sounds to me just like a song off of Full Collapse, Thursday's Full Collapse. It doesn't sound just like it.
Right,
you know. We were all right.
You wish it sounded
like
that.
Yeah, we definitely like.
And I don't know anything about music except that I love it. I don't know anything about making music, but I can't imagine what it's like to grow up and being a guitar player and hear the amazing sounds that are coming off of other people's records and not knowing how they make it and how much time you have to put into it to try to figure out a way to make your guitar sound good. That just must be so hard.
Yeah, it's intimidating. You just kind of have to fake it until you make it, I think. You just turn knobs and like, yeah, this is my own custom setting. And just wait until someone compliments you and then run with it.
How did it work? This is the band Paramore in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We got a lot of ground to cover, but let me ask you one more on the early years and then we'll move on. And that is, how did it come together when you guys started writing your own music? How did that happen? What was the process like?
Well, I mean, I remember the first time me and Taylor wrote a song together, my mom took me to his house after school, and we were like, we're going to write today.
Mom, I really want to write a song.
And then you just sit down at the kitchen table and say, all right, here's a line I have. Do you have anything that can go after that?
You showed me, like, you had music.
Yeah, I had music, and I was like, hey, check out this really cool guitar part. She's like, yeah, here's the song. There's a melody I have.
I'm sorry, can I hear your impression of her?
You recorded it.
did that song get finished? Did it end up being one that you actually ended up playing live and stuff?
We don't play it live that much. It's a B-side to All We Know Is Falling. It's called.
Your first song that you wrote together was good enough that it actually ended up being recorded one day.
High five!
Wow! How about that?
Yeah, we did all right.
Fantastic! All right, Paramore's in the studio. We need to take a break. We will be right back on the Kevin and Bean Show.
We are having all kinds of fun with the band Paramore in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Haley, Jeremy, Taylor.
Hi.
Right before we came back from that song, by the way, we heard these words out of Haley. I smell like the Warped Tour, and nobody wants that. That's not sexy.
It's not.
Speaking of Monster, which we just played here on the Kevin and Bean Show, I know you've been asked a lot about the new album that you guys are working on, and Monster, people go, hey, that's new music from Paramore. Maybe that's where they're headed.
Oh, yeah.
But that was for the Transformers movie, which I imagine that you approach differently than you do for your own stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think Monster came out of a tough time and like maybe a dark time for us, and so that it reflects that really clearly. And I mean, we recorded like four songs around the time we recorded Monster, and they all sound completely different. And we will release them, but they're not for the album.
Interesting.
Oh. Yeah.
Do you guys record a lot of stuff that doesn't make the record?
No, not really.
Never get a chance to. Yeah.
You should, because then you got the Tupac effect, and after you guys die,
oh,
50 years, they'll be putting out albums.
That's exciting.
What is your timeline like for a new record? Do you even have a deadline, or is it just we're just going to kind of work on it as we have time, and it's done when it's done?
2014. Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
Kill me.
2014, did you say?
Yeah, it was going to be a funny joke.
And then the mic didn't work.
I'm sorry.
Nice job, Kevin.
It was my fault.
Great.
My bad, sorry. 2014. Ha ha! That's crazy.
Oh, my God. Wow, that was really cool.
Please don't make it that long. Please.
No.
It won't be.
Please,
hopefully,
God.
Hopefully, fingers crossed, the plan is to go into the studio in January.
Yeah.
Okay. So January 15th should be done?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Around then.
Okay, good.
Exactly. We'll see.
How much do you think about the older albums when you're going in to make a new one?
I don't at all. Do you guys?
Really? You just start, essentially, you're just starting from scratch.
Yeah.
Do you do the opposite? Do you try to not do what you've done before, or not even that?
I mean, there are times when you'll start to write a song and it just kind of sounds a little bit too much like something you've done.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think we just kind of write what comes out and
totally. Whatever's
happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about how different it is making this Paramore record with the lineup changes compared to the last one. I mean, especially for, I imagine for you, Taylor, I mean, your life has changed a lot, right? Being a songwriter with the band and everything now, right?
Yeah.
What's this process like?
It's been a lot of fun, man. I think none of us really know what we're doing at this point. We're just kind of figuring it out as we go along. And I think a lot of really cool stuff has come out of that, honestly, because, you know, we don't have it figured out. And
it must be exciting if you don't have it figured out.
Yeah.
And you don't know what to expect. And then something comes out of that. I mean, that's that creative process, I think, is what everybody's interested in, is how a band comes up with something out of nothing. It just is difficult.
And we have no clue.
Yeah, we're just like, well, there we go.
Are there days where you accomplish not only nothing but less than nothing? You take a step backwards and you go, this day sucks. Let's just write it off.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to have those days.
And then other days when a lot of stuff flows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Haley, you were out of the room. I think you were. I think you're looking for some mace in case Dave, the King of Mexico, comes after you again.
Yes, I was.
But
to no avail.
The boys were telling me while you were gone, and this was a surprise to me, that you guys have never played Lollapalooza.
Nope.
You've never played Coachella.
Nope.
You've never played Bonnaroo.
No, I haven't.
What's up with that? I mean, I would think your band would be a perfect band for all of those shows, especially
you.
Bonnaroo being in Tennessee. I mean, it just seems like it's an outdoors, summertime, big crowd, fun thing.
Yeah. What's
up with that? Why do you hate America?
We just do. No, honestly, I would really love to play Bonnaroo, especially with it being Tennessee. I feel like we're not hip enough for Coachella. Like, I really do. Like, I mean, there's so many bands that we love that play Coachella.
Right.
And I remember when Bjork played and I couldn't go, and it was the saddest day of my life. But I don't know. I feel like we're, you know, I mean, maybe
you're not good enough. That's ridiculous. But listen, there are,
I don't know what
because
it is.
There's 150 bands. All 150 are not better than you. I'll tell you that right now. I mean, there may be some, but
that sounds to me like somebody dropped a ball somewhere in terms of not making the right phone call. I mean, that's just shocking to me, especially to hear you say you'd like to play these shows, but you don't get asked. All right, one more question before the break with Paramore here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You were starting to tell us, and then our song ran out. We got cut off.
Sure.
Iowa City, where, by the way, we have many Kevin and Bean fans. Listening to us on KCJJ. Iowa City stuck out in your mind as an unusual show when you played there. Why?
Yeah, we were on this tour. We were actually on tour with a band called I'm the Avalanche. Mm-hmm. And it was one of our first, you know, first U.S. tours that we were opening up for a band. And I know on at least two accounts that night I paid people to come in.
So you were out in front, and you said, "Hey, you can get in for free."
Yeah,
and they said, "No thanks." So you reached into your pocket and you pulled out money,
dude.
How much?
I only got $5 per diem a day.
How much did you pay them?
I can't remember. I mean, I'm sure the door was $5.
Okay, so
I probably
$5.
Was like, "Okay, well, here goes my corn nuts for the ride to the next city. Like, here we go."
So you pay people to come in so that you don't have to play for a completely empty room.
Yeah, there were, I think that night there were 9 people at the show.
Oh my God. Wow.
It was great. And I was having, I remember I was having problems with my throat too. It was just not a night that has great memory.
Did the 2 people that you paid stay for the whole show?
I don't remember. I don't want to remember.
Okay. We still pay our fans to come to the show.
Oh, I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. Was there ever a time when you guys are out in the smelly van and you're playing shows for 9 people where you thought, F this, I'm not going to do this anymore? Or did you always, like, the flame kept burning?
What do you think?
Was it fun enough on stage, or did you just think... Some bands do, you know what? Some bands, and this is the truth, some bands do have to give up because they're never going to make
it. Sad.
I know, but and some
but some
groups,
bands should give up,
some,
though, let's
yeah,
be honest.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Now, you hear people say all the time, if you just follow your dream as far as you can, you should never give up. You know what? Some people should because they're not very good.
Simon Cowell.
I'm just saying you have to think along the way, is that us or are we good enough? And
because you don't know at that time what the
future
is going to hold. I mean, did you ever get that discouraged that you almost quit?
Well, if we're ever at that point these days in music, you can retire, like sell a lot of records, and then come back like 2 years later.
Yeah,
sure.
You're fine.
It kind of just happens that way. So
yeah, it does.
That might happen to us.
So many bands do that. Oh, we're on hiatus. Oh, right. We're back for Jay-Z. A reunion show. And they make like
Jay-Z,
a million
check out my new record.
Yeah. Right. The band Paramore is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, you can follow them on Twitter at Paramore and, of course, paramore.net for the latest information. When we come back, we're going to talk about, I don't know what we're going to talk about.
Who knows?
Maybe some about you guys going to Indonesia, which I know is coming up.
Yes.
And some of the other plans that you might have for the rest of 2011 and 2012. And we'll do that right after this with Paramore on the Kevin and Bean. The band is Paramore. They are in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, speaking of Decode right there from Twilight, how do you get your songs in movies like Twilight and like Transformers? Do you have people that go out and pitch you, or do they just call you out of the blue, or how does stuff like that happen?
I think there are people that definitely pitch from the label or from, you know, management or whatever. But Twilight, I remember I read those books, and I was like, these are good books. I read them really fast, and I enjoyed them. I like vampires. What can I say?
Me too.
And and I just remember being like on a plane back from Europe and thinking this new song we were writing would really fit for the movie that they were making. And like, as soon as we all agreed it would be okay, then we started talking to the director. And I remember I had like 2 or 3 meetings with her, and it was like beating someone over the head with bricks to like
convince them that it was going to be the right move. And finally, like,
really,
the last...
they said at first, good song, but, man, we're good.
Yeah, they were like, they wanted to give us this, like, maybe 3-second spot or whatever. And that's all, that's fine. That's still, you still get on the soundtrack and you're still fine. But, I, like, we had written this song that I just, I really believed in so much. I was like, dude, it's like, people need to hear this song. I, right. I think it's going to be great. And but we had no, like, Twilight blowing up like that was crazy. Mm. Never would have thought that would have happened.
And yes. Transformers?
Awesome. That was a little bit easier. Just like, I think we'd gone through the process before, so it was like we kind of knew. Like, it took forever again, but we knew we got it. You know, yeah. We understood.
Right. Would you or have you used any of your songs for commercials?
Oh, we've never done that, have we?
Yeah, we'd like to.
Okay, sure.
We're making a, yeah, making a checklist good. Of things, sure. The guys want to do here today. I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, come on. It's great ideas.
It's a Paramore song for your commercial?
Yeah. There aren't a lot of opportunities right now, this time of year in 2011, for Paramore fans to see you in the United States. You got a Hawaii show coming up, you mentioned. And you're also playing a special show in New York soon here. What's that about?
That's for our label's 15th anniversary. Fueled by Ramen has been around for 15 years, so we're going to celebrate.
So is this a bunch of their biggest bands throughout the years are going to get together and play in one night? Is that what it is?
Yeah, so many bands over the course of, I think, three days.
Yeah, two or three nights, yeah.
Wow. And then Hong Kong, Indonesia, Singapore, I mean, places that most people dream their whole lives of hoping to one day get to see. You're actually being paid to go to those places.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
At all. So excited.
What's it like for you guys in Asia? I mean, are you huge there, or are you still making your way there, or what?
We're still trying, man. You know, it's different everywhere. You never know what to expect. You know, like, you're going to a country that you don't even speak their language. You've never been there, and then there's, like, thousands of people. But sometimes there aren't, you know, so we still have to work really, really hard.
Are they singing your songs sometimes?
Yes, and it is crazy.
That's got to be
weird. It's amazing. Yeah,
you don't learn Chinese or whatever. You're not singing them.
Right. It's amazing. Yeah, they sing them somehow.
It's crazy hearing their accents when they sing. You know, yeah. I love that. It kind of gets me teary-eyed sometimes.
Well, I'm sure. Considering it's not their language, that's got to be
good. Yeah, it's an honor.
Their English is better than your Indonesian. That's
it's
how you look at it, right?
Better.
I don't know about that.
Speaking of Indonesia, and I follow you on Twitter from time to time, Haley, and then I get bored and I drop you, and then I pick you back up again. But my point is...
I get bored with no me, worries. Too.
My point is, you made some reference to something that seemed mysterious, and I thought there might be a story there about something the fans did in Indonesia that seemed to touch you. What was that about?
Yeah. The promoter put on this huge festival just for our show, and it was a few weeks ago while we were on tour overseas. I think we were in Europe, and I remember I was watching, they had a fireworks show to our song Careful, and I just, like, I couldn't hold back tears. I was like, man, this is, you know, we've been through a whole lot the past 6 months. It's been really emotional, and right. I think when you see stuff like that, it sort of makes it all okay. Like, people really care about the songs that we're playing, and that means so much. Like, all the way across the world, the opposite side of it, you know, and it just meant a lot to me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's no better compliment for an artist than to have somebody really deeply feel your art.
Exactly.
It was. Yeah. Will you be hiring more permanent members for the band? I mean, you going to eventually at some point, is there going to be a full-time drummer, for instance?
It's a good question.
I think for now, we've just been through so many member changes, including myself.
Yeah.
But I think we're kind of going to focus on the three of us, and you know, who knows what the future has, but you know, I think that's really the goal right now, is just to really focus on the three
you
of us.
You should get that guy Josh Freese. He plays a good drummer.
He's not that good, guys.
He is unbelievable.
That was the best tour ever. We just got tattoos that have only three white bars in them.
Right.
And so if we ever add new members, we're screwed. So this is it. It's three of us, we're done.
You can always take members away and fill it in.
That's right.
Sure, that's true. Well, you guys sound like you're in such a good place. It sounds like such a happy time to be in Paramore, and it sounds like you're excited about the new music that you're doing and looking forward to next year. And I'm so pleased for you guys.
Thank you.
I think it's awesome. And you've been, as we told you off the air, Kevin and I are so grateful for bands like you who are making such great new records that we get to play on the radio. It makes our job a whole lot more fun, too.
Oh, shit.
Making us blush over here.
Oh, so speed it up. Let's stop this old January thing. Let's get going. You know what I'm saying? Let's get going.
All right.
Paramore. See you guys. Thanks, Paramore.
Thank you, guys.
See ya.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 8:55.
Woo! Wednesday on the Kevin and Bean Show means Adam Carolla, the Ace Man this week in Rage, joins us after the top of the hour
get
now.
Get on!
Ralph is here with the showbiz beat.
Yeah, gotta get on. Yeah.
He told us the first time he did This Week in Rage that he was going to start, bring back Get It On, and he has not let it go.
No, he's a man of his word, if nothing else.
He really means it.
Yeah. Before I get to showbiz news, if you would like to see me and Kevin Smith, we're doing a couple live shows today and tomorrow. We're going to do some live comedy. It's going to be me and Kevin Smith and some surprise guest stars. If you'd like to come, we still have a few tickets left. So if you want to come see a live comedy show today and or tomorrow with me and Kevin Smith, you can email me at live.kevinsmith, one word, at gmail.com. It's live.kevinsmith@gmail.com. Kevin and I are doing a show today and tomorrow, and we'd love to have you come out and see us because
is this the TV? Is this a TV thing? Is that what?
No,
it is?
No. We're doing it's a live comedy show, and it's just to promote us and Red State and other stuff and everything. But we've got some availability, so we thought we'd do it today. So
right,
if
fantastic.
You'd like to do it today and or tomorrow, we're doing 2 days. It's me and Kevin Smith, once again, live.kevinsmith@gmail.com. You can come out and check it out and have a good time, because the guests, they don't want us to say who the guests are, but some pretty highfalutin people are going to be stopping by.
All right.
So we'll have to see how that goes. Let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? The Jersey Shore cast, it's been announced, they're going to make a cameo in the upcoming Three Stooges movie. Could this movie get any better? First, they told us it was going to be Sean Penn and Benicio del Toro and Jim Carrey. And then it ends up being the guy from Will and Grace and two other dudes you've never heard of. And now the Jersey Shore cast. They just, how do they find ways to improve this idea?
I don't know. But they do. Every single piece of information that comes out
keeps getting better. And in the world we live in, where the Smurfs rule the world, it'll probably make $200 million.
Can Carlos Mencia and Chelsea Handler somehow make a cameo, too?
Oh, that'd be so good.
And maybe Jay Leno could do some stand-up in the middle of it?
Oh, stop it. It's like a little slice of heaven right there. Speaking of the Smurfs, Sony Pictures has already announced there will be yet another Smurf movie. They've picked their release date already.
How do they do
2013.
That?
They've already got their time set aside, and I guess they're busy just scribbling out Smurfs right now and getting it all ready. So far, that movie has made $135 million worldwide.
Wow, that's crazy.
That is so crazy. I want everyone involved with that movie to go Smurf themselves. That's what I would like them to do. TV news. Sarah Chalk's getting a new series. And I'm happy to hear that.
I liked her.
I'm a big fan. I loved her on Scrubs. And she was on How I Met Your Mother and Roseanne, of course. New sitcom in development for her over there at Fox. So it could be as soon as a mid-season replacement, or maybe they'll wait for the following fall. But I'm glad to see that she's developing something, because she's very entertaining.
I agree.
And sad news in the world of television, especially for Dave and other fans of the sci-fi show Eureka, it has apparently been canceled. The show had been given an order for an additional 6 episodes to close out the series, but Entertainment Weekly's reporting that the network has apparently changed its mind about a 6th season altogether. Mm-hmm. So, fans of Eureka, it's been nice.
Yeah.
But it's all over.
Very bummed out. Really one of the most entertaining shows on TV.
Yeah, it really was. Well written, well acted, a lot of fun, and sad news. Good day for Lisa May.
Yes.
Not only has she named her dog Boner.
Which is a great choice, by the way. I think we're all signed off on, right?
Which is enough. I mean, that should just be enough to make her day.
That is pretty good.
But there's a lot of theater news in the showbiz news
really?
Today. Yes. Apparently they are going to turn The King's Speech, which was the Oscar-winning movie, into a stage play. King's Speech, the play.
I can see that.
I can see that. That lends itself, I think, to
I wish it was a musical.
Me too.
That'd be great. Have the king out there. You know, like one song would take like half an hour to get through. Awesome.
Ralph, pursuant to nothing in particular that may be happening this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, we don't need to get complaints from stutterers today, okay?
Oh, come on.
So you don't mean any kind of disrespect. You're not making fun of anybody's disability.
The stutterers love me. They know
they know
I'm just
okay. I hope
kidding.
That's the case, because I don't want to answer any more letters today.
They're part of the Garmy.
They are. They're part of the Garmy. They're a special division.
Division.
Oh, see what you had to go there and do? That's just insensitive. I don't like that kind of humor, Muggs. You and I are going to have a conversation after the show.
All right.
And Tom Hanks is a big believer in putting his money where his mouth is. Great story about Tom running into a few fans at a gas station recently who told him they had just checked out his most latest film, Larry Crown, the other night. Tom asked how they liked it, and the man candidly replied, "It wasn't very good." Tom Hanks reached into his wallet, pulled out $24 and handed it to the couple and said, "I promise I'll do better next time."
How about that?
Oh, my gosh.
That's all you need to know about Tom Mother Effing Hanks right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
He's the real deal.
I didn't see that, and it saddens me to hear that it's not very good because I'm a huge fan of Tom Hanks and of Julia Roberts both. I wonder what the problem was. What went wrong with that?
I don't know because he directed it too, and I think he's a really good director.
Seems like with movies, there are so many things that have to come together well to make a good movie that it's...
And now it's more than ever. It's kind of sad, but lives are busy, and it takes a lot for me to cut out the time to go to the theater. And whatever that show was selling, I just wasn't interested in buying that week. But I definitely think it's a DVD checkout. I mean, those two are very likable performers, so I'll probably watch it on the Blu-ray. Today's celebrity birthdays, Ian Anderson of Jethro Tull. He, of course, lead singer and flautist for that band. He is 64 years old.
You keep talking about him, and I feel like you're living in the past.
I didn't even get that.
I guess that's a song reference.
It's a Jethro Tull song.
Okay.
Put it in the file.
Big hit from Ian Anderson's band.
Put it in the file.
I couldn't work in Bungle in the Jungle. That was the best I could do.
Aqualung? Nothing? Couldn't come up with anything? Rosanna Arquette's 52 years old today. Antonio Banderas turns 51. Justin Theroux of, you know him best for that movie where
he was in Lost Highway. He was a big star in the film Lost Highway.
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
What else would he be?
I always play this game with myself. How can I make Kevin know who I'm talking
about? I think he was one of the writers, and I could be dead wrong on this, but this is stuck in my brain somewhere. I think he was one of the writers of Tropical Thunder.
He was.
He was actually in
Tropic Thunder as well.
And he was in the movie, too. Yes.
Yes.
I love Tropic Thunder.
He is 40 years old today. He's currently dating Jennifer Aniston. And they're having a very good time together. Angie Harmon's 39 years old today, and actress Devin Aoki celebrates her 29th birthday. Is this ringing a bell? That's not him.
No. Oh, never mind, Mugg.
You're useless.
He pulled up a picture of Justin Bieber. I don't know.
He brought up Henry David Thoreau.
Maybe you typed in Justin Thoreau. Oh. Maybe that's why.
Okay.
Thoreau is a French name. Ends in an X, by the way. It's not Thoreau. He really follows through on his work.
Don't speak French.
I would like to suggest that I'm all right not knowing who this is.
You certainly are now.
Is that him?
Yeah, that's him.
All right, good.
All right, good.
That was worth
that's
it.
That's his response. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Oh, I miss Helly. It was so much better when Helly was here.
We were taking a picture with Paramore, and it was me and Lisa. Were you in it?
No,
it was me and Paramore. And Dave said, okay, now my turn.
Mm-hmm.
And he kicked me out, and it was just him and Paramore.
Yeah.
Hey, Adam Carolla's on the phone. Of course, the Ace Man does his historical live show this Friday night in Thousand Oaks at the Borderline Bar and Grill. Upcoming shows in Ontario. Then he's heading off to Atlanta, Florida. You can get all the details at adamcarolla.com along with the podcast. Ace Man, have you, Dave the King of Mexico, met his girlfriend Haley today from Paramore again? Have you ever had a starstruck moment where you met somebody you admire very, very much?
Every morning when I wake up and shave in the mirror.
Hey!
And it's those kind of jokes that keep me coming back to me.
I know, right? But, I mean, there has to be a guy like you. I mean, there has to be a Steve Martin or a whoever it is, somebody that you've always admired. You finally got a chance to meet him in the course of your professional life, and it blew you away.
I would say... Who's the guy? The guy from Mambo Number 5?
Because
I really had a feeling.
Lou Bega.
I had a feeling about that kid back in '80. I'm trying to think. You know,
really.
I mean, honestly, can I be honest?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I think that's what we were looking for.
Yeah.
But
you guys,
shut up.
Yeah, right. Okay.
No, but seriously, I've been listening to the radio for you have to think about where you are. The King of Mexico is basically. He's sewer rat level and beneath, you know.
Wait,
what I mean?
What?
What I'm saying is
what are these?
I'm sort of a celebrity. So when I meet other celebrities, I see them through the eyes of sort of a celebrity.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Not a guy who shovels manure for a living.
Right. And that is Dave, right.
Right, but when I met you guys, I was shoveling manure for a living.
Okay.
You see, what it's a relative thing.
I understand.
I think you're mocking somehow, and I'm uncomfortable with this.
All right. Adam Carolla joins us every Wednesday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Why? Because it's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Three and moving my way down to number one. I guess the Teen Choice Awards were over the weekend. Everyone's all abuzz about that. And then they got the Kids Choice Awards where big name celebrities getting slimed.
Yep.
By the way.
That happens.
And then they got the Comic-Con where poor Harrison Ford's got to go out there and pretend like he's not disgusted by all the nerds who read their comic books. They're not graphic novels. They're comic books, kids. Let's call them what they are. And then I just started thinking about it. When did we have to start kissing so much kid and nerd ass? I mean, I thought the whole thing with nerds is you beat them up and kids, you ignore them. You know what I mean?
Like, right. We're upside down now, yeah.
When did we start constructing a society around kids and nerds?
Yeah, I know when I was a kid, no one paid attention to me, and properly, I think.
Like, yeah, you would walk in, you know, with your dad sitting around smoking and playing cards with his friends and go, hey, I got an idea for an award show. They go, hey, how about you go kick a ball of foil around the yard before I beat your ass? And all I'm saying is, you think, like, could you picture if they had this stuff 50 years ago? You think Robert Mitchum would have showed up to the Teen Choice Awards, or Humphrey Bogart's going to get slimed?
No, it's a new world.
Those guys would have stabbed you with a busted bottle of brandy and put it. I mean, they would have gone out there smoking and drunk and threatened the kids with a knife. Are you kidding me? Here's all I'm saying. Let's start telling the nerds and the kids to kiss our ass. We're not going to the crappy award show.
I'm with you.
Give it out to other stupid kids who give a crap. I don't care anymore.
Okay.
A-list celebrities should not be showing up at these award shows and getting tubs of goo dumped on them. But I did come up with an interesting wrinkle that would make guys like me watch.
All right.
I don't know how many gooings they do during those Kids' Choice Awards.
This is actual, like, green jello, like, gross stuff.
They are literally covered in the stuff. Yeah. And it hit. They do, like, one every other star.
Right.
They dump about 20 tubs of that stuff. Just make one whale spunk.
We don't need more sperm on the Kids' Choice Awards.
I would never stop watching.
And you never know when it's coming.
You never know. So and it's like, oh, there's Leanne Rimes. Please, dear God, please get it.
Oh, my God.
It's Jack Black. No, not Jack. It'd just be fun, wouldn't it? Cousin Sal would be taking action on it. You know, it'd be awesome.
Sure.
All right. I just want you to picture Robert Mitchum at the Teen Choice Awards or telling Mitchum, sober up, we need to put you on a train. You're going down to San Diego for something called Comic-Con.
Right.
He'd stab you in his doorway. He's like, listen, I'm whoring right now. Can you come back?
All right. Number two.
I don't know if you guys heard, but the FBI thinks they may have found D.B. Cooper, except for D.B. Cooper, the guy who robbed the airplane and then jumped out over,
Oregon. Let me just tell our audience real quick. Yeah, it's the only successful hijacking in United States history. It happened 40-something years ago, and he jumped out. He got $250,000 in cash and jumped out. The Pacific Northwest was never heard from again. The case was never solved. But the FBI just got some new leads recently.
Yeah, well, a couple things. First, all the dumbos who were like, hey, man, how much cash was on that plane? He stopped and got the cash and then took off again. So it wasn't like he just sent a basket around down the aisle and got $250,000. But here's all I'm saying. The FBI, open case, still working on the case, and now he's dead, but they think they may have DNA evidence. Here's all I'm saying. FBI, do you not have bigger fish to fry than going after dead guys from the 70s, who, by the way, got away with as much as an average price car today? The guy's a folk hero. Leave it alone and move on to the dirty bomb.
How about good point. Anyone living, you mean?
Yeah, let's go ahead and take the small army that's working on the D.B. Cooper case and put them on the suitcase bomb that's going to go off in Manhattan next week.
Way better.
Not that there is going to be one.
No, but I'm saying a way we surely could prevent it is if these guys got off the case of the 35-year-old dead guy.
Yes, absolutely.
But by the way, if you're an FBI agent, what a cush gig.
No kidding.
You're just sitting around playing with that paddle, you know, with the ball on the rubber band, you know, smoking and eating pizza, and your boss pokes his head in. Anything on D.B. Cooper? Not today, boss. All right. All right, let's get back to the game. I mean, what a gig, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All the other guys are like undercover junkies trying to infiltrate, you know, Mexican gangs, you know, looking at getting their head put in a duffel bag, and you're working away on the D.B. Cooper case.
Just waiting for the phone to ring.
Just waiting for the phone to ring, like the Maytag man. Number one, I'll tell you, we have supersized everything in this society. Everything's getting bigger, and certainly the meals are getting bigger. Lord knows the kids are getting bigger.
Yeah.
I was on a Southwest flight coming home from Phoenix with a red-haired kid next to me that was 11, but he was 200 pounds if he was an ounce. And at some point during some turbulence, he said, I think I'm going to blow.
Oh, no.
And at first, I was aroused, you know, and I realized what he was talking about. And I said, oh, geez, you're going to throw up. And he's sitting in between me and another dude who was a big dude. And I said, geez, he's going to throw up. And he just pounded, you know, a bunch of chips and like a cran apple.
Right.
And I was like, okay, oh, dear God. So I grabbed, he didn't know what he was doing. He was flying alone. I grabbed the air sick bag? Size of a packet of ketchup.
Yeah, it's true. They have
made everything in society bigger except for the container that you have to throw it up into. So now the kid just not ate, you know, a supersized Happy Meal, but he's throwing up into a sack that is, it would not hold one cheeseburger and half order of fries. And I'm thinking to myself, why not enlarge that bag just a little bit? Like, give me a downside. What would be the harm? Like, some guy threw him into a bag, and another guy went, is it full? Okay, it's not full? Then we got a problem. Someone else is going to have to throw up into that bag, because we're getting full usage of it. This thing barely fit around his fat head. Like, by the way, and it should not just be a bag. It should be a full beekeeper's hat. You know, the whole hat. It should be a whole hat, right?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. They're not serving anybody with that plan. You're right about that. All right, Adam Carolla is on stage in Thousand Oaks this weekend on Friday night at the Borderline Bar and Grill, then off to Ontario. You can get the details for all the upcoming dates at adamcarolla.com, plus his fine family of podcasts. And don't miss Adam Wednesday nights. That's tonight on the Speed Channel as one of the hosts of The Car Show at 10. Ace Man, thanks for coming on, dude.
106.7. K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 9:42.
Is it in fact true, Mr. Ryder, that Damian Marley was playing at Lollapalooza and you couldn't have walked faster away from that performance? Did I hear that? Is that accurate?
Maybe. I'm not the biggest fan of reggae.
I see. I got you. Although you weren't stoned enough to enjoy it, basically.
Although I would like to have been the guy that's on stage that just has the Jamaican flag and he just waves it. That's all he does through the whole show. I can do that.
You're overqualified, sir.
Overqualified.
That's a good gig. All right. You're listening to the Kevin Bean Show on a Wednesday. Ralph is here with our final look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Well, and music.
That's not it.
Not that music, though.
Mugs is on fire today.
Well done.
For the record. Yeah. Right. Start. The music will come in at some point.
I got time.
Okay, we'll wait.
Now, the CD doesn't come out. You're really good. You guys are going to wait.
He's got a pair of scissors now.
He's sticking a pair of scissors into the CD player.
What could go wrong?
You're like a damaged child. You're like a child who was playing with one of those dry cleaner bags in the crib, and you didn't cut off the oxygen to your brain enough to kill yourself. Just enough to make you useless.
I'm going to tell you right now that he's not going to be able to find the CD and you should just continue.
All right, I'll have my own theme song then. Put my own background music.
Can you loop that?
Sure.
All right.
Piers Morgan says he didn't hack into Paul McCartney's cell phone. He's pretty sure that Heather Mills did, however.
Sweet.
CNN host and the former editor of the UK's Daily Mirror said that if you look closely at their divorce papers, Paul accused Heather of hacking into his phones and selling that info to the press.
Interesting.
So
that so sounds like something she would do.
Although Heather accused Piers of doing that in order to get stories about their marriage and pending divorce. Piers says it's actually Heather was the one that was the problem.
I would believe it.
Piers Morgan also wants to apologize to Sir Paul. He said, not for anything he did that was regarding their phones, but for introducing him to Heather Mills.
Oh.
Could you live with yourself?
No.
If you were that guy?
He didn't know, man. He didn't know she was going to turn out to be a witch.
Well, it ended up costing Paul McCartney $50 million. Just keep that in mind.
That's crazy.
That's for one with one leg. What would have happened if he had divorced a girl with two legs? It would have been double that, right? Like $100 million?
Is that how you pay
by the limb?
I don't think so.
I think it is in England. I think that's how the divorce courts work. Oh, you pay by limb? By limb, yeah. They have like a prelim hearing, and then you actually get the whole, you get the limb.
We're done.
Thank you. While we're talking about Paul McCartney and the Beatles, by the way, still in the news almost every day. Every day.
I know.
You'd be surprised how many Beatles stories I don't do.
They just broke up, Ralph. I mean, literally just broke up in 1970.
Although, if you live in Cuba, it's all new to you.
What?
Did you know that all the Beatles music was banned in Cuba until just a few years ago?
What?
They're just starting to listen to the Beatles in Cuba.
They're going, what is this new sound?
Kevin's like, oh, why didn't I live in Cuba all those years? Apparently, there's a new nightclub that's opened up in Havana that salutes everything Beatles. It's called Yellow Submarine. All they do is play Beatles music there. But the good news is you don't hear the actual recordings. There's a Cuban band that plays their music when you go in there.
Sweet.
Oh, it must be like Mariachi Beatles.
Nope.
That sounds good.
Even better.
A few days ago, you told us about a museum/barbershop in Argentina that was all Beatles all the time,
too. Where you get Beatles haircuts. You can get all the Beatles haircuts there.
What is happening?
It's a worldwide phenomenon. These Beatles are already catching on. I predict big things for these four kids from Liverpool. I think they're going to do well. Michael Moore, the documentarian, has stepped up and announced who he thinks America's next president should be.
All right, good.
According to Michael Moore, he tells us we should all vote for Matt Damon.
Yeah!
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon for president.
Is he running?
Nope.
What's the... Why would he...
Michael says he is quite the outstanding and outspoken defender of certain social issues.
Okay.
And that he is a very courageous, well-thought-out young man.
Okay.
And he also thinks the Democrats need someone who could win in an election, and he thinks Matt Damon would be it. So, I'm writing in Matt Damon's name.
You've already made up your mind?
I think Ben Affleck has to be the VP.
A lot of people get excited when actors tell them how to vote. I'll tell you that. People enjoy that. When people in show business open up their mouths about politics.
Did you see him at that teacher's rally where he told
was that something?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see that.
He had an ass full of her. Hey, you want to own a little piece of Justin Bieber? No, not that little piece. Some of his hair.
No.
It can be. You can get a little Justin Bieber hair for just $32.57.
Well, they come up with that price.
I know
$32.57.
But there's a collectibles firm called Stanley Gibbons, and they're offering up a remnants of a recent haircut of Justin Bieber's.
Nope.
For just $32.57 a share.
What do you mean a share? They're selling a bunch of different pieces?
Yes, they're a bunch of different pieces. They're parceling it off into little prepackaged amounts, and for just $32.57, you can own yourself a little Justin Bieber hair.
That sounds cheap.
If I went to my mom and dad and I said,
knowing how crazy the Bieber fans are,
yeah,
they could charge a lot more than $32 to get a piece of Justin Bieber's hair. I'm just surprised it's so inexpensive based on how popular he is.
Probably a pretty small piece of hair.
That's what I'm guessing.
You should snatch it up now.
Yeah, because think of how the value will skyrocket. It'll be like gold soon.
Mm-hmm.
Gold beat platinum on the market this week. I think Bieber hair is going to outstrip gold soon. I think we're going to be in a Bieber-based economy sometime soon.
So maybe.
You might want to stockpile some Bieber hair.
That's cheap.
I'd pay twice that amount for some Bieber hair.
He's the cheapest man alive,
too. I wasn't saying for me. No, I was saying, think about the marketplace. He has so many fans, you can get a lot of them to pay a lot more than that.
I'm guessing that Bean, since Ralph started this story, has bought hair.
I bet he has.
He already went online.
He can't stop ordering hair. He's on the hair shopping network right now, and he is just stockpiling hair.
I have made plans for the new director's cut of Never Say Never that's coming out to Target this Friday. It's a Target exclusive. Even more additional footage than the last director's cut on DVD.
34 new minutes of Bieber footage on the Never Say Never.
Stop it. I got my weekend planned, and now I'm going to have the hair to sit on the couch and watch it with.
Jesse James.
Yeah, you're not creepy.
Left Sandra Bullock with a broken heart. He also apparently left her with a very bad habit. According to the National Enquirer, he tried to help Sandra kick her cigarette habit by substituting another substance. No, not that one, you perverts. Oh. Chewing tobacco.
Ew. That isn't good for you.
Apparently, Jesse taught Sandra how to dip, and now she's addicted to chaw.
No! What? South. Ew! No! What's happening?
Insiders on the set of her new film Gravity say she's seen constantly walking around the set carrying a white styrofoam spit cup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that you can do where you have to constantly spit.
It is the worst and most inconvenient of all the bad habits, really.
It's just terrible.
At least with a cigarette, you have a few drags, you put it out, you're done with it for a while. Chew, you live with that all day long. Nuts.
Have you ever been tempted to chew, Ralph?
I tried it once. I tried they have, for starters, they give you these pre-packed amounts of chew in like a piece of gauze or cheesecloth or something. I don't know what they wrap it up in.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But it's like a pouch, so it's not loose, all floating. Because that's the worst thing about chew. It's like literally it floats all over your mouth. You got tobacco up stuck in your teeth and whatnot.
Right.
So you just take that little thing and you stick between your cheek and gum.
Yeah.
And you start talking like this over shit.
Get good tobacco flavor.
And it tingles, and you absorb the nicotine and tobacco right through your skin, right through the...
And a lot of people get really sick the first time they chew because it is absorbed so quickly, right?
Yes. I did. I took like a pound of it.
Well, you would.
Of course.
Kevin's packing his mouth with like a ramrod, just sticking it in there.
It was not a pleasant experience.
You ever be at a party and you pick up the wrong beer bottle? You ever done that?
No, I haven't. But people do use the beer bottles as the spit.
Yeah, that's unfair. You have to.
That's gross.
You have to well mark your chew cup.
I agree.
You cannot use a bottle or a can that someone may accidentally pick up thinking it's a nice frosty beverage and end up with a mouthful of used chew. That's not good for anybody.
Can you even imagine Sandra Bullock doing this, though?
Yeah, it's dirty.
Doesn't sound right.
No, I like it. Picture her in like an SS uniform chewing. And,
come on. How did she get to the SS?
Get a tattoo on her face. All kinds of bad things will happen. They're shooting up heroin. And
come on.
Hey, Ralph.
Dogfighting. Just all kinds of bad things.
Before you close out, I know we're almost out of time, but Chip wanted me to remind you we have Fright Night tickets.
Yes. I'm glad she reminded me. I have 3 pairs of passes remaining for the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Fright Night. Brand new movie starring Anton Yelchin.
Hey!
And, well, he's what? Russian.
Oh,
is he? I didn't know.
President of Russia, for God's
sake. Oh, I'm sorry.
He's not a little respect. Damn.
I thought he was from Asia or someplace.
Anton Yelchin, you think, is from Asia.
I retract the high.
That was odd.
That was more of a low.
File.
File, yeah.
Colin Farrell, David Tennant, great cast, and Tony Collette also stars. If you'd like to see a very special advanced screening of that, we've got one this Tuesday. It is August the 16th, this coming Tuesday, and then, of course, the movies in theaters every Friday, the 19th of August. I'm Ralph Garmo. We don't have time for birthdays. I'm Ralph Garmo, and I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning we have an all-new program. We have Dr. Drew every Thursday. We're going to talk to him about his HLN show and celebrity rehab.
Not a real doctor.
He is a real doctor.
Real doctor, not included.
He is a real doctor. I'm telling you right now. Brand new internet roundup.
No middle degree required.
Tomorrow. Buying under the influence.
Ah, yes.
Big problem. You get online, you've had a few, you start buying stuff, starts showing up, and you go, I sure don't remember ordering this.
That Amazon one click. it's ruined me.
We have comedian Nick Swarsden on the program from 30 Minutes or Less, and we have comedian Kevin Nealon tomorrow as well on an all-new Kevin and